for God for another privilege and opportunity to gather once again in the house of the Lord one more time. We thank you for all the saints of God who are here today. We thank you even for our children, Lord God, who have felt it well to be out this morning. We ask your continued blessings be upon them and their family, dear Lord. We ask a special blessing and prayer upon Brother Javier and his family as they're traveling, Lord God, and ask that you would be with them, dear Heavenly Father. Watch over and protect them and keep them safe from all hurt, harm, and danger. And please, Lord, in the name of Jesus, allow no accidents to befall them. Thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for the children who are downstairs, dear Father. We ask a blessing upon them and remember their household, remember their mother and their father, dear Heavenly Father, as they raise them in these perilous times, dear Heavenly Father. We ask, O Lord, that you would look in upon them with favor and keep them from the snares and pitfalls of Satan and from the evilness of this day and time. Father, we thank you for our saints who are gathered here in the sanctuary this morning. Ask a special prayer and blessing upon Sister Lord God, we thank you for her being out. Thank you, Lord, for all that you have done for her. Said she's a little cold in body, but Lord God, we ask in the name of Jesus that thou would continue to look down upon her with favor. We ask in the name of Jesus that you would be with her in her home, dear Father. Thank you for her children who care for her on a daily basis, dear Father. And ask your continued blessings be upon her. Help us, Lord God, to remember, Lord God, she's 94, not 95 yet, Lord God. But we're looking for you to allow her to see 95 in July, dear Father, if it be your will. We thank you, Lord God, that, Lord, she's still sharp in mind, dear Heavenly Father. She's able to call, dear Father, to make sure we had it right, dear Lord. She heard me say it several times, Lord God, wrong, and she heard us, dear Father. And so, Lord, she wanted to make sure we understood that right now she's 94, and if you allow her to see July 20th, she'll be 95, and we thank you for that and ask that you would continue to bless her and be with her, dear Father. Remembering, Lord God, Sister Carol, we thank you for her and all that you've done for her. Thank you for watching over her, Lord God, and her home and blessing her in her body, spirit, mind, and soul. Blessing her as she traveled over the highways, dear Heavenly Father. We just ask that you would continue to look upon her with favor, dear Heavenly Father. Bless her in her body. Thank you for being with her when she went to get her shot the other day, Lord God. We just ask that you would continue to look in upon our dear sister in a mighty way, dear Father. Thank you for Sister Regina, Lord God, when we look out and see her, dear Heavenly Father, and all that you have done for her, dear Father. We ask a special prayer and blessing upon her in her body, dear Lord. Remember in her eyes, dear Father. We know she had an appointment this past week, dear Father, and we thank you, Lord God, that we don't know what it was, dear Father, what the outcome is, but we don't care. We care, Lord God, but we don't need to know, dear Lord, because you know all about it, and you blessed her to be here, dear Father. So we ask in the name of Jesus that you would continue to look down upon her. Remember her family. Remember her daughter and her grands and great-grand, dear Heavenly Father, in a special way. Always, Lord God, she puts in a request to remember Darnell, dear Father. So we ask that you remember him, Brother Darnell Lauderdale, in a special way this morning, dear Father, looking upon him, dear Father. Be with those who are caring for him likewise. Father, thank you, Lord God, Brother Mann, being here this morning. Thank you for this dear brother, and ask your blessings be upon him, dear Heavenly Father. We pray, Lord God, you look in upon him throughout this day, dear Heavenly Father. We ask that you would give him the desires of his heart, dear Lord. We know, Lord God, that he oftentimes, Lord God, asks us to remember his grandchild down in the Carolinas, dear Father. So we lift him up to you, Lord God, and ask that you would continue to bless, be with him in his home, dear Father. He always asks to remember his neighborhood, dear Father. We just ask that you would continue to bless our dear brother in a mighty way. Father, we want to thank you this morning. Likewise, we saw Officer Todd come in this morning. Ask that you would be with him, Lord God, and remember his family. Ask your blessings upon them likewise. Father, we just pray and you keep them safe, dear Heavenly Father. As Sister was saying downstairs this morning, dear Father, so much killing and so much death, so much shooting, dear Father, and violence, Lord, in our land. But Father, we just ask in the name of Jesus that your hedge of protection will be about your people, Lord God, this day, dear Father. Lord, we ask a special prayer upon our trustees. We thank you for Brother Maurice and Brother Jackson and all those who come and work in the house of God, Brother Robert, Lord God, Brother Tony, dear Father, and those who come, dear Heavenly Father, throughout the week and work in the house of God to make sure the things are done, dear Lord, in your house, dear Father. We ask a special prayer upon these dear brethren. They don't complain. They don't say anything. They just come and work, dear Heavenly Father, and we thank you for that. Ask that you would continue to give them the desires of their heart. We know they are studying, Lord God, for next month, dear Heavenly Father, and so we just ask that you give them added understanding, dear Heavenly Father. We know that all of our understanding comes from the unctioning of the Holy Spirit of God. And so, Lord, we just ask that your Spirit, Lord God, would rain down upon them as they prepare, Lord God, to teach your people the word of God. Father, we thank you, Lord God, this morning for our superintendent, as your blessings continue to be upon him. Father, we just want to thank you and praise you this morning for all that you have done for us. Father, we don't want to forget anyone, so we ask that the special prayer and blessing upon all the saints of God in a special way this morning. We pray, Lord God, to remember those who are still on their way. Lord, grant them traveling mercies over the highways, dear Heavenly Father. Bless them, Lord, and keep them safe, dear Heavenly Father. Lord, we ask in the name of Jesus, we don't see as of yet, Sister Lillian, dear Father, but we ask a special prayer upon her, dear Father. Ask that you would be with her, dear Heavenly Father. We thank you for this saint, dear Heavenly Father. She has a sweet and quiet and humble spirit, dear Father, but we thank you, Lord God, for all that you have done for her and all that thou art doing, and ask that you would continue to look down upon her with favor, dear Heavenly Father. Lord, we ask in the name of Jesus, remember Brother Robert this morning, likewise, dear Father. We pray, Lord God, a special prayer and blessing upon him. Remember those who are in the media room, dear Father, Sister Maria, Melita, and Brother PJ, dear Father. Watch over them, dear Father, as they broadcast the service out. Remember all those who are calling in, dear Heavenly Father. We have saints, dear Father, our Sister Bond there and her family in Massachusetts, dear Father. We ask a special prayer and blessing upon our Boston, dear Father. We ask a special prayer and blessing be upon them, dear Father. We ask in the name of Jesus that you likewise remember a brother down in Atlanta, dear Father, brother, I'm forgetting his name right now, dear Father, but we ask that you would remember him in a special way. Remember our dear sister down in Florida, dear Father. Remember others who are calling in, dear Heavenly Father, on listening in, Brother Monty and his family, Lord God, Sister Sandy, Lord God, in a special way, we ask that you would remember them, dear Father. Remembering Sister Ruth, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for her. Yes. Thank you, Lord God, for her sending in, dear Father, the little treats for the children, dear Father, and the things that she's doing, dear Father. We just ask that you would look in upon each and every one of the saints of God in a special way, dear Father. Lord, we don't want to forget anyone, so we just ask that you remember all our brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus this day. Father, remember a special way, Brother Delmar, dear Father. We're holding him up before you, dear Father, knowing his condition, dear Heavenly Father. But Lord, we're encouraged, dear Heavenly Father, to know that you're able, dear Father, to touch and heal, just as you did with Brother Byron, Lord God. We know you're able to do for Brother Delmar. Now, Father, get the glory out of our lives. Be in our services today. Remember our world and the condition in which it is in. Remember our president, our leaders, dear Father, our judicial system, dear Father, all of our judges, Lord God, our lawyers, dear Father. Remember, Lord God, even our congressmen, dear Father. They need much prayer, dear Father. And, oh, Father, remember our troops, dear Father, that are standing guard there at the Capitol, Lord God. We have a special interest there, Lord, because one of our saints' loved ones is there. Their son, dear Heavenly Father, Tyrone, is there, dear Father. And so, Lord, the other day when we heard that someone breached the line, dear Father, Father, and got in and a couple officers were killed, Lord God. We were just praising and thanking you, Lord God, that it wasn't Tyrone, dear Father. And Lord, we just ask that you would bless, dear Heavenly Father. Oh, my God in heaven, there's so much, dear Father, we can pray about and be thankful for this morning. But, Lord, we know that you are God, and beside you there is none other. So we ask that you get the glory out of our lives, that you would be in our service. Remember Sister Laurentine downstairs, Lord God, as she's tending to the children. We don't want to forget her, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for her work and ask that you would bless. Likewise, Sister Smith, Lord God, who's downstairs too, we just ask that you would bless and be with each and every one. Now, Father, we thank you, Lord God. We saw Brother Reggie come in this morning. Thank you, Lord God, for how you are blessing him and Lord God, in his body, and ask that you would continue to look down upon him with favor. Yes. Now, have thine own way in the services today, dear Lord. And we'll be so careful this morning to give you the praise, not forgetting Sister Millicent and Sister Blake, Lord God. We just ask that you remember them in a special way, dear Heavenly Father. Lord, we ask that you would bless their Father as they are here in the service, their Heavenly Father, helping out their Heavenly Father, doing the work of the ministry. We just pray that you would bless their Father. Now, Father, remember each and every one of us, Lord God. I'm afraid I'm forgetting someone, but Lord God, you know my heart. You know my heart, dear Heavenly Father. It's not, dear Heavenly Father, that I wanted to forget any saint of God, but just remember all of us in a special way. And we'll be so careful to give your name the praise, the glory, and honor. In Jesus' name we pray and we thank you. Amen.
So we turn in our worship the Lord to page 67. 67 in the worship the Lord. Jesus, name above all names. Amen. 67 in the worship of God. We'll sing this through a few times.
God this morning.
Amen.
In Jesus' name above all names. Amen. Told that neither is there salvation in any other.
Mm-hmm.
For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Thank God for the name of Jesus. My, my, my. Praise our God. I want to hit his name with us wherever we go.
Amen.
Amen. Thank God. Again, glory to our Father. Glory to our Savior. Glory to our Comforter.
Amen. Amen.
This morning.
Amen.
Amen. Thank God for his goodness to us, allowing us to be here today, allowing us to be together once more.
Amen.
Amen. It's a blessing. We count it a blessing and a pleasure to serve God and to be among the saints.
Mm-hmm.
We want to give honor this morning to Pastor Jenkins. We thank God for his blessings on her. We thank God for the love that he has put in her heart for all the saints. Amen. Thank God. Again, so happy to be here today. And it's just good to be among the saints.
Amen.
Amen. Just coming among the saints so many times, just a balm for your soul. You just,
Amen.
You just even coming together, even before the services begin, you just, my. It's just good. Thank the Lord. Amen. Our responsive reading is found in Matthew's Gospel. Chapter 28, Matthew chapter 28,
Amen.
Reading verses 1 through 15, responsively. Matthew 28, verses 1 through 15, responsively. Amen. In fact, the Lord will give us Haley, an opportunity to get Bible. Get the Brother Maurice has one for you.
Amen.
Amen. Matthew, chapter 28. New Testament. Amen. Amen. We want to tarry with our, because we want our young people to be reading the Word of God along with us. Sister Smith, would you mind helping? Sister Smith, would you mind helping Haley to find it? Thank you. Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 15. Amen. Amen. First, we're going to read verses 1 through 15 responsively. Okay. Matthew 28, 1 through 15. Amen. Beginning with verse 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher.
And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it.
His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow.
And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men.
And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified.
He is not here. He is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay.
And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you.
And they departed quickly from the sepulcher with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word.
And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him.
Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me.
Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done.
And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers,
saying, say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept.
And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you.
Together. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Amen. Praise God. My. No matter what man says, whether they make a covenant for money or whatever it is, no matter what man says, God is still God. Thank God for Jesus. Thank the Lord for his word.
Amen.
I'm going to ask at this time if there are requests for prayer. Thank God that he was not there.
Amen.
But he had risen, as he said. Amen. Thank God. And because he lives, we can live also. Because he lives, we have a hope.
Amen.
He holds the future, doesn't he? What's the song put saying? Life is worth the living just because he lives. Amen. Thank God. And because he lives, he lives to make intercession. Amen. So we can bring our requests to him, know that he will hear and he's able. So we'll ask, what are our requests at this time? Sister Regina?
Amen.
Praise God. Amen. Amen. Yes, Sister Holmes. Amen. Amen. God bless you, Sister Holmes. Amen. We're glad to see you. Amen. Other requests. Amen. Good to see you, Sister Kiva. Praise God. Good to see you. Amen. Sister Carol. Mm-hmm. Amen. 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 Lord bless. Amen. Amen. Remember.
Just one thing. Continue to remember myself. Much in prayer. Thank the Lord for so many blessings. And continue to remember Sister Marguerite and Brother PJ. And she had a minor surgery. And she's doing well.
Amen.
She is doing well.
Thank the Lord. Mother requests.
Don't see Sister Maria and them.
Yes, remember Sister Maria and in prayer. I remember Sister Francine Scott also. The Lord would bless her. You know, she'd been dealing with a sinus infection and ask the Lord to touch her. Also, Minister Scott by her side. Sister Smith. Oh, thank the Lord. Amen. Amen. God's word tells us, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory.
Amen.
By Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. And we can depend on that.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All general requests, we are all in need of the Lord's blessings. After the hymn of meditation, we'll ask if Sister Millicent would take us to the throne of grace.
Amen.
And if there's one who has a need, come and bow. Don't hesitate to bow. Come and bow before the Lord, mm-hmm. knowing that he's able to supply. Brother Byron. Amen. Amen. Thank the Lord. Amen.
Shall we turn in our evening light to page 256? Evening light 256. Evening light book 256. 256. Come closer to me. Many things go on throughout the day or throughout the week. We just never know what may come our way. The Lord tells us to come closer to him. He'll take care of us. Come closer.
When I get weary with toils of the day, often the secret I kneel and pray. There I can hear my Lord sweetly say, come closer, my child, to the verse 2. When all around in this cold dark land, nothing encourages me to stand. Jesus is holding me by the hand. Come closer, my child, to me. 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 Come closer, come closer, closer, my child, to me. When in afflictions I suffer long, Jesus, come bringing this lovely song. Trust in my grace and you shall be strong. Come closer, my child, to me. Verse 4. When I am meeting with trials severe, when I am parting with loved ones here, looking to Jesus, his voice I can hear. Come closer, my child, to me. 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 Come closer, come closer, closer, my child, to me.
Amen, amen. Young man, you have a prayer request?
Mm-hmm. For everybody in this room and everybody.
Amen, amen. 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 Good to have you this morning. Good to have you this morning. Shall we bow our heads? Father, we come this morning with gratefulness in our hearts one more time just to say thank you, dear God. You have been so good to each and every one of us. As we slept and slumbered throughout the night, dear Heavenly Father, you've blessed, you've watched over us and protected us, dear Heavenly Father. Lord, you've given us the rest in which we stood in need of in our bodies, dear God. And then you spoke peace to our souls this morning and allowed us to arise, dear Father. And for this we say thank you, dear God. Father, as far as we know of our family members, dear Father, are still in the land and living, dear God. Father, we just ask that you would bless, speak to their hearts, dear Heavenly Father, those that know thee not, dear God, that they seek thee before it's everlasting too late. Remember those that are out and about, dear Father, and all that have come into the house of thee this morning, dear God. We want to say thank you, dear Father, asking in the name of Jesus that you would bless. Father, that you would lead, guide, and protect us all, dear Father. Give us the strength in which we stand in need of. Father, you heard the request as they came forth this morning. I may not remember them all, dear Father, but you know them, dear Father. And we just ask that you would bless
according to your will, dear Heavenly Father. Lord God, we ask that you remember Sister Regina, dear Father. You heard her request, dear God, and we just say thank you, dear Father. Lord, you said you would supply our needs, dear Father, and I thank you, dear God, that you were able to supply a need in which she was stood in need of, dear God. And Father, we ask that you continue to watch over and protect her as she goes. Remember those in her complex, dear Heavenly Father. Be with them, dear Father. We pray in the name of Jesus. Father, we ask that you would just bless according to your will. Father, remember Sister Carol. Father, you heard her request, dear God. Father, we ask that you would bless her and keep her, dear Father. Remember her nieces, dear Father, and nephew, great nephew in a mighty way. Father, we ask that you would watch over and protect them, dear Father. Lord, you know what they each stand in need of, dear God. Father, we ask that you would just bless. You know their lives and how they live, dear Father. We just ask that you would have your own divine way. Help Sister Beverly, dear Father, to be a light unto them, dear Father. Lord God, we ask in the name of Jesus, be with her, guide her, and protect her, even in her home, dear Father. Remember her neighbor. Father, we thank you, dear Father, that he's up and about a little bit, dear Father. Lord, understanding that he had this virus, dear Heavenly Father, that's running rampant in our lands. But Father, we thank you, dear God, you seem fit to allow him to rise up off of that bed, dear Heavenly Father. We ask that you would be with him. Give him the strength he stands in need of, dear God. Father, you know his life, whether he does or doesn't know you, dear Father. Lord God, if he doesn't, that he seek to find you, dear Father, before it's everlasting too late. And Father, if he knows thee, dear Father, help him to grow closer and closer to thee. Father, we ask in the name of Jesus that you would just bless him and his household in a mighty way, dear God. Father, help Sarah Carol as she is a neighbor unto him. Father, we ask that you would bless her, dear God, in a mighty way. Father, give grace and strength where it's needed, dear Father, we pray. Father, we ask that you remember our children, dear Father. Didn't hear a request from them, but Father, you know what they too stand in need of, dear God. We just ask in the name of Jesus that you would bless them, dear Father. Watch over and protect them in school, dear Father. Lord, many are out on spring break right now. We ask your protection upon them, dear Father. Lord God, many have gone to places, dear Father, and this virus, dear Father, is just spreading and spreading, dear Father. So we ask, dear God, in the name of Jesus, that you would bless, dear Father. We're hearing many of the young people are now in hospitals, dear Father. We ask, dear God, in the name of Jesus, that you would speak to their souls, dear Father. Let us see and to know they are not indispensable, dear Father. Even though they're young, there are graves for young people too. So, Father, we ask in the name of Jesus that you speak to hearts, dear Father. Help us, dear Father, to know where we're going, dear Father, and to watch out for different things happening around about us. Father, we ask in the name of Jesus that you would remember them all, dear God. Matthew and London and Haley, Grant, dear Father, Jasmine, dear Heavenly Father, and Lord God and little dear God, Olivia, dear Father. Lord God, and Tatum and Liam, dear Father. Be with them all, dear God. Zaria, dear Father. We just ask that you bless each and every one of our children, dear God, in the name of Jesus. Your hedge of protection about them, dear Father. Many of them are back in school. Father, some are hybrid and some are full-time in school, dear God. So we just ask your protection upon them, dear Father, as they go to and fro. Father, your blessings, dear God, we pray. Father, you told us to pray without ceasing, dear Father. Lord God, our children are ours, the gifts that you've given us. So, Father, we ask in the name of Jesus that you would just bless and watch over them, dear God. Father, we ask that you continue to remember other requests, dear God. I don't remember them all, but, Father, we ask that you'd have your way, dear God. Remember Sister Smith's request. Thanksgiving, dear Heavenly Father. Lord God, we thank you, dear God. She was able to get some service to her car, dear God, on that tire, dear Father. And, Lord God, the service was done, dear God, and the young man allowed her to go on without a payment. Father, we say thank you, dear God. You watch over your children, dear God. So, Father, we ask that you bless their Father. Whatever was wrong with that tire, we thank you that she was able to get service and get it taken care of. Father, she gives you glory and honor, dear Father, that's due unto thee. Father, she often puts in a request for her family. So, Lord, we ask that you continue to remember them, her daughter, grandchildren, dear Father, and great-grands, dear God. Be with them, dear Father, her nephew, dear Father. Lord God, we ask that you would just bless them all. Lead, guide, and protect them, dear Father. Help her to continue to be a light unto this family, dear Heavenly Father, that they seek thee before it's everlasting too late, dear Father, we pray. Father, we ask that you remember Sister Lillian. We thank you for her, dear God. Didn't hear a request, but you know what she too stands in need of. Father, we thank you for her and ask that you would just continue to bless her in a mighty way, dear Father. Lord, it's just a blessing, dear God, as the service is going on, dear Father. Some Sundays, or a lot of Sundays, I hear her back there quoting the scriptures, dear Father. Minister Jenkins is bringing forth, dear Father, and I just say thank you, dear God. It just brings a smile to my face, dear God. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus you continue to help her to continue to go on for thee. Fight the good fight of faith, dear Father, we pray. Father, we ask that you remember Brother Byrene, dear God. You heard and know his request, dear God. We ask that you bless him, watch over and protect him, dear Father. Lord God, we just pray that he was able to give a word and a prayer, dear Father, for Brother Delmar and Sister Sherry as they visited with them on yesterday, dear God. We just ask that you bless, lead, guide, and protect, dear Father. We thank you for giving him the strength, dear Father, to be able to come this far, dear Heavenly Father. Lord, because it's a long drive for him, dear Father, someone that's not feeling well in body. So, Father, we ask that you continue to be with him, dear Father, and strengthen him, dear God. Continue to remember Brother Byrene, dear God, as you continue to strengthen him day by day and moment by moment. Father, we say thank you, dear God. We never want to stop thanking you, dear Father, for the healing you've done, not only just in his body, but all of our bodies. Father, there's many days I continue to thank you for the healing you've done upon my eyes, dear God. Father, and I just say thank you, dear Father. Lord God, because earlier this year, dear Father, they were so scaly and peeling and itching, dear God, so bad. And oh, my God, you have touched, dear Father, and I just thank you for the healing and ask that you continue to touch, dear Father. Lord God, just give me the strength in which I stand in need of, Father. Lord God, likewise, remember his companion, Judy. Father, continue to talk to her heart, dear Father. Lord, she sees the difference in his life, dear Father, and we just thank you that she feels she can go to him, dear Father, and ask, dear God, the different questions of your word. Father, if she hears something, dear Father, she knows she can get it straight, dear Father. She brings it back to her husband, who is a child of thee, dear God. And for this, we say thank you, dear God. Father, we ask in the name of Jesus that one day, dear Father, she'll walk in this door with him, dear Father. Lord God, we ask in the name of Jesus that you would just bless, lead, guide, and protect her, Father. Lord God, we ask that you remember Sister Lauren Singh. Give her what she stands in need of. Didn't hear a request from her, dear God, but Father, you know what she needs, dear God. Father, we ask your protection upon her, dear Father, as she goes, I believe it's this week, dear Father, to have her shot, dear God. And several of us, dear Father, are going this week to have our COVID shot. We just ask that you would go before us, dear Father. Protect us as we go. Father, you know and you see, dear Father, what the shots are going to be, dear God, but we're not going to be apprehensive about it. We're going to go in the name of thee, dear Father, trusting that you're going to do what is to be done with our bodies. Father, we just ask that you bless. Remember others, dear Father. Remember Brother Maurice, dear Father. You know what he stands in need of. We thank you for your protection even upon his family down in the south, dear Father. We ask that you would continue to bless and be with them, dear God. Give him what he stands in need of, dear Father, in his body, dear God, as he goes to and fro each and every day, dear Father. We ask that you bless him, keep him, dear Father, lead, guide, and protect him, dear God, we pray. Father, we ask also that you remember Sister Holmes. Father, we thank you for this dear servant of thee, dear God. Father, and how you've watched over and cared for her all down through these years. Father, we ask that you give her what she stands in need of, dear God. She thanks you for the strength in which you give her, dear Father, the knowledge and wisdom in which you've given her, dear God, and which she has shared with us. Father, down through the years as young people growing up underneath her, dear Father, Lord God, we just say thank you for this dear sister and ask that you continue to bless her. Strengthen her body, dear Father, where she may be weak, dear God. Her eyes are in that arthritis in her legs, dear Father, her feet. We just ask that you strengthen her, dear God. Let her know that her name is called out during the week, dear Heavenly Father. Lord God, we trust and ask that you continue to bless her. Remember her children as they care for her, dear Father. We ask that you would strengthen them. We say thank you, dear God, that have children that look after their parents, dear God, that care about their parent, dear Heavenly Father. Lord God, and are willing to be there to help their parent. Father, we ask in the name of Jesus that you would just bless, dear Father. We thank you for the servant and ask that you continue to give her the strength she stands in need of. Likewise, Brother Mann, dear Father, give him what he stands in need of. Father, as I heard him, dear Father, he said he was sitting on the porch and looking at the sunshine, dear Father, and looking at his grass, dear Father, and said it's about time for him to get out and start cutting the lawn. Father, we ask in the name of Jesus that you be with him, dear Father. Protect him, dear God, while he's out there, dear Father. Lord, you know he's not a young man. He's in his 90s, dear Father, but he's still, dear Father, pushing on, dear Father, in thee, and trying to do the things he can at his own home, dear Father. So we ask that your blessing watch over and protect him in his home, dear Father. Likewise, his spouse. Father, we ask that you be with her, dear Father. Lord God, we ask that you bless this couple in a mighty way, dear God. Remember his grandson. Father, we ask that you continue to be with him, dear Father. I'm not sure how he's doing, but Lord, you know all about the cancer that's in this little boy's body, dear Father, young man's body. We ask that you bless and keep him, dear Father. Strengthen him, dear God. Let him know that the saints here in Columbus are praying for him, dear Father. We ask that you just bless this young man. Remember his parents likewise, dear God. Father, we ask that you remember Brother DeAndre and Sister Maria, dear God. Good to see Brother DeAndre in the house of thee this morning, dear God. Father, we ask that you be with him, dear Father. Give him the strength he stands in need of. Father, bless him on his job. We thank you for your protection, your hedge about him, dear God, while he's there, dear Father. Many people in and out of the airport, dear Father, that he's passing, dear God. We don't know, and he doesn't know who does or may have this illness, dear God, but we thank you for your protection upon him, dear God. And then he goes home to his family, his wife and his children. So, Father, we ask that you would continue to be with them, dear God. Watch over and protect them. Give them the added strength in which they stand in need of, dear God, we pray. Remember Sister Maria while she's on her job and there in her home, dear Father. Watch over and protect her. Give her what she stands in need of, dear Father. Lead, guide, and direct her thoughts, dear God, we pray. Father, remember Brother Tony in a mighty way. Father, you know what he too stands in need of, dear God. Be with him, dear Father. Lord, he puts in a request many times of, we thank you for the sunshine, dear God, and the health and strength you've given us. So, Father, we ask that you'd watch over and protect him, dear God, as he too goes to and fro, dear Father, doing, dear Father, throughout the week. Watch over and protect him, dear Father. Give him the strength he stands in need of. Father, you know and you see, dear God. Father, we ask that you remember Brother Jackson, dear Father, Brother Levester, dear Father. We ask in the name of Jesus that you'd watch over and protect him, dear God. Be with him in his neighborhood, dear Father. His new neighbors, dear Father, we ask that you continue to bless. Remember them, dear Father, that he be a light unto that neighborhood, dear God. Father, we ask that you would watch over and protect him, dear Father. Give him the strength he stands in need of in his body, dear Father. Lord, even as he and brother are preparing, dear Father, for the lesson upon next month, dear Father, Lord's will, we ask that you would bless them, strengthen them, dear Father, and likewise your children as we're studying and reading the word. Father, we ask that you bless us all, dear Father. We get something out of your word and grow closer and closer to thee, dear Father, we pray. Father, we ask that you remember the young man that came in this morning, dear Father. Lord, you know what he stands in need of, dear God. Father, you put in a request to remember us all, dear Heavenly Father. Lord, we ask in the name of Jesus that you would just bless, that you get a blessing out of his life, dear Father. I don't know his life, but Lord God, I know thou knowest him. Father, we ask that you would be with him, dear God, as he sits in the service. Lord Father, that he hear the word of thee, dear Father. Lord God, and draw to thee. Father, we ask in the name of Jesus that you would have your own divine way. Remember Sister Blake, dear Father. Lord, you know what she stands in need of. We thank you for your touch upon her body. This past Wednesday, she wasn't feeling well in body, Lord God, experiencing some dizziness, Father, and she said you touched her, dear Father, later this week, dear God. And we say thank you, dear God, for your touch upon her body, dear Father. We knew she would give you the praise and glory and honor that's due unto thee, dear Father. Lord, we ask that you be with her, Lord. She's not sure what it is that came upon her, dear Father, but you know. Father, you told us to cry out to thee, dear Father. Sometimes things come upon us, dear Father, for us to lean upon thee a little more each and every day. And we thank you, dear God, because we know your children will lean upon you, dear Father, and call upon you when we're not well in body. Even when well in body, we're thankful, dear Father, for what you've done. The Father, we ask that you remember Sister Melita and Brother Pierre in the back. Father, we ask that you be with them, dear Father. Watch over and protect, Lord God. Give them what they stand in need of, dear Father. There's even running the system, dear Father, for those who are hearing the word, dear Father, coming across the line. Father, we ask that you would bless in a mighty way. Bring those out, dear Father, that are able to come out, dear Father. We ask in the name of Jesus that they not get so comfortable in home, dear Father, and not want to come out, dear Father, and be among the saints, dear God. Plenty of room in your sanctuary, dear Father, that we can spread out, dear Father. Lord God, we ask in the name of Jesus that you would just draw them out, dear Father, we pray. Now, Father, we ask in the name of Jesus that you will remember even my request. Father, we ask that you would bless, continue to remember Sister Marguerite, continue to touch her in her body and heal her, dear Father. Give her what she stands in need of, dear God, we pray. Father, I ask that you remember Sister Kila, dear Father, in a mighty way. Father, we thank you for her and ask that you continue to watch over and protect her, dear God, and her household, dear Father. Remember her daughter, dear God, Bianca. Father, we ask that you be with her, dear Father. Lead, guide, and protect. Father, even her son, Father, we pray. Now, Father, we ask in the name of Jesus, you remember Minister Jenkins. Father, we ask that you would let her down deep into the well of wisdom, dear Father. Lord God, as she stands before us this morning, dear Father, to proclaim the truth of your precious word, open our hearts, dear Father, to receive your word, dear Father. Lord God, and to walk more and more close to thee, dear Father. Lord God, time is winding up on this earth, dear Father. People are dying day by day, dear Father. We hear of so many shootings throughout the week, dear Father. It could be one of us, dear Father, in one of these grocery stores, dear Father, or going into our company, dear God. Father, and someone just drives by and shoots, dear Father. Lord, we've even heard of them going down the neighborhood, dear Father. There was a neighborhood just the other day, and somebody went down, dear God, and just shot up these houses, dear Father. Lord God, we don't know if it's in our neighborhood or where it may be, but Father, we ask in the name of Jesus, help us to be ready and stay ready with thee, dear God. Father, that if we shall be taken out of this life unexpectedly on our term, dear Father, Lord God, that our life would be able to rest with thee, dear Father, until your return for us. Father, we ask in the name of Jesus that you would bless. Help to receive your word this morning. Give us the strength in which we stand in need of. Father, remember Brother Robert, dear God, in a mighty way, and Sister Violet, dear God. Father, we just ask that you bless her and keep her, dear Father. We're so glad to hear that she's doing well. Father, we ask that you would continue to bless, dear Father. Lord, if there be any, I fell to remember, dear God, Brother Reggie Jackson, remember him likewise, dear God. You know what he stands in need of in body. Father, Officer Myers in the parking lot, dear God, be with him, dear Father. We thank you for him and ask that you continue to watch over and protect him. Father, we ask that you remember all that's going on in this life, dear Father. Trials, dear Father, people being shot, dear God, all kind of things are happening. But Lord, we're depending on you to carry us through. Father, we ask that you remember Miss Betty and the girls, dear Father, in a mighty way, dear Father. I ask in the name of Jesus that you would help her, dear Father. Remember, dear God, we are here for her, dear Father, but we want to see them out, dear Father, in this service, dear Father. Lord God, we ask in the name of Jesus that you would bless in a mighty way. Lead, guide, and protect us all, Father. Make us a blessing. We ask these and all blessings in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Father, not forgetting Sister Francine, who is due in for surgery on the 8th. We ask in the name of Jesus, Father, that you be with her, dear Father. Lord God, go before her and prepare the way, dear Father. Remember her in body, Father, that she continue to heal, dear Father. We thank you for being able to see her as she came in town upon yesterday with the children. Father, we ask that you would just bless. Father, that you would lead, guide, and protect her, dear Father. Remember her spouse, Brother Minister Scott, beside her, dear Father. We ask that you would bless him and strengthen him, dear Father. Continue to strengthen him in his body and in his leg. Father, we just say thank you for all that you've done and are going to do for us all. Father, we ask these and all blessings in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank God for the spirit of prayer.
Amen.
May I just say,
amen.
You know, someone, Sister Jenkins, and I don't know who, but I believe it was on last Lord's Day, we found you under our chairs when we go to prayer, and we bow and we kneel and pray. And someone left these.
Amen.
For us to kneel on.
Amen.
And they are wonderful.
Yes, they are.
They are wonderful. Once we get down, it's supportive and it's and comfortable and it's easier to get up. So someone was thinking of us.
Amen. Thank God.
Thank God. We just want to thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank
Amen.
God. That's love.
Yes, yes.
Brother Tony, thank you.
Yeah.
Amen.
Thank
just been informed.
Amen.
Amen. Thank God. such a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
They are some cushions.
Yes, they are. They are. Amen. Thank God. I'm before you to lift the morning offering. This is the first Sunday in April. And so the special offering for today is for benevolence. And that offering may be placed in the middle plate as we file by. And our tithes and other offerings will be placed in the plates to the far left and far right. We'll look to the Lord in prayer. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, Lord, we're so thankful, dear God. So thankful to you, Lord, for your goodness. So thankful, dear God, that you know, Lord, those things that we stand in need of. And, Lord, you provide those things.
Amen.
And, Lord, you also give us a privilege, dear God, to ask, dear Father.
Yes, Lord.
And, Lord, you will hear our cry. And so, Father, we just thank you, Lord, because we are just blessed all the way around. Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would bless us, dear Father, as we honor your word, dear God, and and we give, dear Father.
Yes.
Lord, you've instructed us, dear God, how to give.
Yes, ma'am.
You've instructed us, dear Father, that we pay our tithes, dear God, and we give our offerings, dear Father. And, Lord, we bring them into the storehouse. Lord, you've told us, Lord, that you love a cheerful giver, dear Father. And Lord, you've told us, Lord, not to let the left hand know what the right hand is doing, dear Father. Lord, you've told us, dear God, and given us instruction, dear God. And then, Lord, you give us direction, dear Father, on how to distribute, dear Father, for those funds that are brought into your storehouse. And, Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would bless each gift and each giver. For, Lord, we know, dear God, that we can do nothing except, Lord, you give us the power and the strength to do it. And so, Lord, we ask, Lord, that you would bless each gift and each giver. Lord, we pray, Lord, your blessings on those who don't have to give, because we know, Lord, that you're able, Lord, to provide a blessing such that they would have the ability to give. Lord, we thank you, dear God, for all that you have provided, Lord, for food, for clothing, Lord, those things that our children each Sunday in Sunday school thank you for. We thank you, Lord, for a roof over our head. We thank you, Lord, for food to eat, dear God. Lord, we don't take any of these things for granted, dear Father. For we know, Lord, that we would not have them except for your mercy and your blessings. And so, Father, we pray, Lord, that you would bless, Lord, each gift and each giver, and that you would use all, dear Father, to your glory and to your honor. This we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
My hope built on nothing less than Jesus' love and righteousness. I dare not trust his sweetest grace, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every all other ground.
For I'm leaning on my Savior. Place to walk. Amen. Fully saved today. Praise our God in the narrow way. Amen. Praise our God. Thank God for his goodness. Thank the Lord for this promise. Amen. The song put on the promise, on this promise, now by faith I calmly rest. Not a doubt or fear I know, while I walk with him below. For I'm leaning on my Savior's loving breath. Praise our God. Amen.
Praise.
Thank God for his goodness.
Amen.
Thank God for salvation this morning.
Amen.
Praise our God. Amen. It's time to hear from the Lord through his word.
Amen.
Amen. So good to be here this morning. Good to see you, Sister Marguerite.
Amen.
Thank God for you. Amen. Good to see you, Brother DeAndre. Thank God for you. It's just wonderful. Amen. Good, Sister Lillian, you weren't here before the first season of prayer, but the prayer requests have been taken. Thank God. Good to see you. So good. Good to see you, Sister Kiba. Amen. Amen. Just good to be here. Amen. We know that Sister Holmes had not been able to be here, but she was on the phone. So in that way, she was here. But today, we can set our eyes on her. So good to see Sister Holmes this morning. Thank God for his goodness and how God is blessing. Because when there are different things that we don't see, we pray for them. And God answers our prayers and allows us to see them one more time, as Brother Mann says. Thank God for service thus far. But we also want to ask God's blessing and God's anointing on the furtherance of the service. Because we know that his word, his eternal word, his eternal truth is what we need in order to be able to live, in order to be able to stand, in order to be able to walk by our Savior's side. We need to know how to walk. And so we're going to ask Sister Laurencine, if you would lift up your voice in prayer before the word goes forth. Yes, Lord.
My, Lord bless.
We're asking your blessings upon our servant and every prayer.
Yes, Lord.
The words that you have given her to him proper to teach and teach to us. Asking that you will open our hearts and open our ears to receive every
yes, Lord.
If we're down the land and left you short of something to come to talk, let us be bold and walk up here.
Praise God. Praise God.
Understanding of the strength, whatever it may be, in this property, asking you to come to your blessing.
Amen. Amen. Sister Renee Jenkins. Amen. Amen. Good afternoon. Giving honor and glory to God. Giving honor and glory this morning to Sister Blake, to this congregation, to each and every one who is listening in, who is here under the sound of my voice. What a beautiful, beautiful morning in the Lord. You know, as our young children came in this morning, Matthew, I believe it was, he said this Easter morning, Resurrection Day, you know, to many in this world. But we thank God for allowing us to be here. Because if it had not been for the Lord, where would we be today? Where would we be today? I trust you have your Bibles. I want the children to have their Bibles. Make sure you have a writing instrument. Thank God for seeing us through. Thank God for the devotional service and the song. Something to be able to say you're fully saved today. That's just not something all can say. When you're able to say it, you can say, praise our God. Amen. In our hearing this morning, we read Matthew, the 28th chapter. We read verses 1 through 15. We would like to go back to that 28th chapter to get the subject the Lord has laid on my heart to share with you today in verses 5 and 6 of that 28th chapter of Matthew. Matthew 28, verse 5, Lord bless. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. As the Lord grants me liberty this afternoon, I would like to share some thoughts with you on the subject, he is risen. Saints of God, yes, our Jesus is alive. When Jesus died on the cross, he truly died and was buried, but his spirit lived on, and it was alive and well. In Luke, the 23rd chapter, verse 46, the word of God says, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. You see, when God raised Jesus from the dead, his spirit rejoined his body, which was now a glorified body. We're told in Philippians, the 3rd chapter, verse 21, it says there, who can change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Also in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 6, Paul wrote that more than 500 people saw Jesus after his resurrection. The New Testament was written by eyewitnesses who had seen for themselves that Jesus was truly alive and was in the flesh. Yes, Jesus is still alive today. He rose bodily from the dead. And he ascended bodily into heaven. Acts 1 recounts how 40 days after the resurrection, Jesus' disciples were with him. He suddenly began to rise into the air. How they stared in amazement as he kept going and disappeared from their sight. Jesus in John 14, also in John 20, he had predicted that he would return to the Father, and that is exactly what he did. He is alive in heaven with God the Father right now. We are told in Colossians, the 3rd chapter, verse 1, it lets us know that he sitteth on the right hand of God the Father. We are told in Ephesians, the 4th chapter, verse 10, it lets us know that he is above all heavens. Also in Hebrews 7, verse 25, it declares to us that he liveth to make intercession for us. And in John 14, verses 1 through 2, we have his promise to return again. Just as Jesus' spirit never died, neither will our spirits die. We will live forever somewhere. How we respond to God's offer of salvation will determine our destiny. Jesus told his followers in John 14, verse 19, and I'm paraphrasing, because I live, ye shall live also. Oh, saints of God, we have a great hope this afternoon that we can build our lives upon, knowing that like our, as our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we may physically die, but death is not the end. You see, the very essence of our belief and the foundation of our faith is in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Without the resurrection, our belief in God's saving grace through Jesus Christ would be destroyed. When Jesus rose from the dead, he confirmed his identity as the Son of God and his work of atonement, his work of redemption, his work of reconciliation and salvation. The resurrection was a real, literal, physical rising of Jesus' body from the dead. In 1 Corinthians 15, the Apostle Paul recorded these words. Turn with me there for a moment, starting with verse 14. He said in that scripture reading, and if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also, which are fallen asleep in Christ, are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Oh, but thank God this is not the only hope we have, amen? But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruit of them that slept. You see, Jesus not only wants us to believe that he was resurrected from the grave, but he wants us to know him. He wants us to experience him in a personal way. As we stated on last Lord's Day, it is not enough just to know the facts about him. Or as Sister Blake said, it's not enough to know Jabez's prayer found in First Chronicles. You know, a lot of people will get off on these various things. They'll get off on these prayers and a little bit of sayings coming out of the Word of God. But that's not the knowing the Jesus Christ that I know. You know, a lot of facts and a lot of things that you can make statements on instead of knowing him as your personal Lord and Savior. You think about Jabez's prayer there in 1 Chronicles, the 4th chapter, verse 10, where it says, and Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me. God will get into this prayer and begin to pray this every day to Almighty God, because they want God to heap a bunch of things upon them. And it goes on to say, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. Oh, yes, we are told in the ending of that prayer that God granted him that which he requested. But you got to remember one thing. Jabez believed so strongly in the power of Almighty God. He believed in God. He believed that God was the source of all of his blessings. How about you and I this afternoon when we get before Almighty God in prayer? Do we believe that he is the source of all of our blessings? Do we believe that he is the reason why we are able to be here this afternoon? Oh, when we ask God to bless us, are we asking God to heap on us a lot of material wealth or a lot of material things that are going to come to naught? Or are we like Jabez? You see, Jabez did not seek material wealth so that his prayer was not
a gateway, so to speak, into the prosperity gospel. Not so. You see, God may not grant us $1 million. He may not grant you and I a 1,000-acre estate, but he is willing to grant us a heart and a mind like Jesus Christ. And how many want that this afternoon? He also wants to give us a heart's desire to go out and spread the good news about Jesus Christ. He wants us to know and to know that he is able to save even the vilest sinner that is out there in this world. Oh, also God wants to have intervention in our lives. But in order for God to have intervention in your life, you've got to know him as your Lord and Savior. Do you know him this afternoon? See, we live in a generational time where knowledge is increasing at an astounding rate. Information, good or bad, is at our disposal 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Yet while men learn more and more, they are little by little moving further and further away from Almighty God and the things of God. Mankind has accumulated so much advanced knowledge that the simple story of the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus Christ seems old-fashioned to a lot of folks. But no matter how one feels about it, it is the only message that will save a lost soul this afternoon. The Bible tells us in Romans, the first chapter, verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." Acts, the fourth chapter, verse 12 says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." We're told in Acts 16, 31, "And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." Have you met the risen Lord? Have you invited the risen Lord to live inside you and to deliver you from spiritual darkness? If your knowledge of Jesus begins with a baby in a manger and ends with something about a bunny and an egg, then you need to know that you do not know Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
For he is King of Kings. He is the great I Am. He is Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning and the end. And he is the author and the finisher of our faith. Praise our God this afternoon. I know this afternoon many are gathering in churches to celebrate what we have come to know as Easter. It's the day when many say they commemorate and celebrate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. And the resurrection is a part of the life of Jesus Christ. But there is an right application to it. You see, the Holy Spirit of God wants to remind us that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is not about chocolate bunnies. It's not about colored Easter eggs. It's not about giving of gifts. But the true resurrection of Christ is about celebrating the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ arose from the dead and that he is alive today. He is the victor over death for all who will believe in him. All the events of that day will forever echo throughout eternity in our minds. You see, the message of the angel who rolled the stone away was, "He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay." Someone this afternoon may ask, why were the cross and the resurrection necessary? Because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Jesus' resurrection proves his victory over sin and death. Because he lives, believers can have a new life in him. Resurrection means to come back to life after death. Jesus died on the cross for sin, but he came back to life 3 days later. You see, when the Lord Jesus Christ shed his blood, he paid for our sins so that we can be saved from the wrath to come and we can know God the Father as our heavenly Father.
All we have to do is be born again. You got to repent of your sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died and was buried and rose again on the third day. And with that belief, we must also obey the holy word of God. And that is the Bible.
Amen.
You see, the Lord died for you. He died for me. And he rose again for you. And he rose again for me. If he had not taken on flesh and blood, we would not be able to be saved today. Salvation, as we learned the past two Sundays, comes through the new birth, through Jesus Christ himself. We are told in John 14, verse 6, and I know we know it well, I am the way, the truth, and the life. John 3, verse 7 says, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Titus 3, verse 5 says, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. You see, there is no other way to get into the kingdom of God. Jesus says that without the new birth, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Oh, it is sad to say that many well-meaning people are confused about the new birth. As the Holy Spirit gave to us on last Lord's Day, they think that they can do good enough deeds or they can good their way into the kingdom of heaven, but not so. Nothing can be further from the truth. We're told in Isaiah 64, verse 4, that all our righteousness are as filthy rags. Romans 2, verse 4 says it is the goodness of God that leadeth you to repentance. You see, salvation comes from God through the new birth in Jesus Christ. Why? Because no matter what you have, what you do, or who you are, or how well you clean up, you are still a sinner in the need of a Savior. We are told in Jeremiah 2, verse 22, for though thou wash thee with nitrate and take thee much soap, yet thy iniquity is marked before me, saith the Lord. People can try and clean up themselves, so to speak, but nothing but the blood of Jesus can wash away our sin.
Amen.
No matter what the masses are saying, sin will never enter into the gates of heaven. The hymnal says, heaven is a holy place, filled with glory and with grace. Sin can never enter there. All within its gates are pure, from defilement kept secure. Sin can never enter there. If you hope to dwell at last, when your life to earth is past, in that home so bright and fair, you must here be cleansed from sin, have the light of Christ within. Sin can never enter there. Someone knew what they were talking about here.
Yeah.
You may live in sin below. Heaven's grace refuse to know. But you cannot enter there. It will stop you at the door, bar you out forevermore. Sin can never enter there. If you cling to sin until death, when you draw your latest breath, you will sink in dark despair to the reasons of the loss, thus to prove at awful cost, sin can never enter there. Then it goes on and repeats that sin can never enter there. Sin can never enter there. So if at the judgment bar, sinful spots your soul shall mar, you can never enter there. Let no one fool you this afternoon. Oh, I know there are many that believe the devil was an angel in heaven. But the Bible tells you sin can never enter there, so therefore the devil could never have been an angel in heaven. Why? Because the word of God lets know that he was a liar from the beginning. And if he was a liar from the beginning, sin is a lie and it's against Almighty God. There's no way for the devil to have ever been in the kingdom of God.
And then he got up in the kingdom of God and got kicked out. Not so, not according to the word of God, because sin can never enter. Oh, I thank God for the truth of his eternal word. I thank God even on Wednesday night when Brother Byron was bringing it up. And Brother Byron brought it out even when he was discussing with us concerning someone that said to him, oh, you know, the devil was an angel in heaven, or was the devil an angel in heaven? No, the devil never was an angel in heaven. Many have got this misconception going on, and many are believing this lie. And they're running around and telling loved ones, and many are confused about it. Well, if you get to heaven, you think about it. You get to heaven and get up there, and you get in an argument with Almighty God. Well, see, if you get to heaven, you don't have an argumentative spirit. You have a spirit of Almighty God, and God does not have an argumentative spirit. Or you get in heaven, and there's some kind of foreign agent up there. There's nothing foreign in heaven. The only thing that's in heaven is Almighty God, Jesus Christ, and the angels. And Lord, help us to be able, that we will be able to make it there when we leave this life. And the devil, as I said, was never an angel in heaven. You can't prove it by the word of God, and you can't prove it because you say it over and over again. But I say, get into the word of God and see what thus saith the Lord. When Jesus, in the word of God, he tells us back in Revelation, he tells us that sin can never get into the kingdom of God. That is exactly what he means. And I mean to live my life so that I can live with God forever throughout the ceaseless ages of eternity. And so if I want to live with God, sin cannot be in my life. If you want to live with God, then sin cannot be in your life. And that is just according to the word of God. You see, that is why the new birth is not an option. It is not a take it or leave it proposal, but it is a divine must. If you want to miss hell and go to heaven, then you must be born again. The fact that Jesus Christ died on the cross does not prove in itself he is God. Jesus proved his deity by fulfilling the prophecies of his death and by his return from the grave. Look at what it says there in Romans, first chapter, verse 4. It says, and declared to be the Son of God with power. Do you believe that he is the Son of God? Oh, we can walk around and say, yes, he is risen. We can walk around and say this is Resurrection Sunday, but do we believe when what we are saying? Do we have an understanding about why our Savior has risen? And look at what it goes on to say. It said, according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Here the Bible declaring that by Jesus being raised from the dead, he proved to be the mighty Son of Almighty God with the holy nature of God himself, meaning it was the resurrection that proved he was the Son of God. Also, the resurrection proved Christ's power to forgive sin. The Bible proclaims in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 17, if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. Ye are yet in your sins. You see, by rising from the dead, Jesus proved his authority. He proved his power to break the bonds of sin and to assure forgiveness and eternal life to all those who would accept his gift of salvation. Have you accepted the gift of salvation this afternoon? Also, the resurrection, it revealed Christ's power over death. The Bible records in Romans, the 6th chapter, verse 9, these words. It says, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more. Death has no more dominion over him. You see, the resurrection secured our victory over death as well. It lifted us up from the grave into glory along with Christ, where we sit with him in heavenly places. Oh, I thank God for the truth
of his eternal word. Brother spoke about this on Wednesday night, and also the Holy Spirit had given us a little bit of it on last Lord's Day. When you are saved, you are now in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Do you believe that this afternoon? When Jesus left this earth, he ascended back to heaven. He sat down on the right hand of God the Father. When he went up, those of us who were saved, we went up with him. When he sat down, we sat down with him. Now I realize that our physical location is still here in this old world in which we live. But God, who sees the ending from the beginning, sees in the term of our spiritual relationship with Jesus Christ, where he is, we are. What he has experienced, we have. When he died, we died. When he arose, we arose. What he is saying is, Sister Renee, when you died to sin and when you were baptized, you buried that old life and you arose with Jesus Christ. Are you arisen with him today? Praise our God. And when he comes for us, we will be with him. I know these things are hard for us to understand, but we need to remember that we serve a God who stands outside of the boundaries of time. He sees all of time at all the same time. He is omnipotent. He's omniscient. He's omnipresent, meaning he is almighty. He's powerful. He's all over the universe. He's ever present. He's all knowing. He's all seeing. And he is an all wise God. You see, he sees us where we are right now. He sees us where he has determined we will be when this life ends. He sees us as we live in this world. But he has so identified us with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as redeemed. You and I are told in Romans, the 6th chapter, that we are dead to sin through his crucifixion. What it says in verse 11, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Christ Jesus our Lord. We are alive to righteousness because he is resurrected life has been given to you and I. Philippians 3 verse 10 says, that I know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. We are also exalted with him because we have been delivered from this wicked world of sin. Yes, we are still in this world. But as Christ said in John 17, verse 16, they are not of this world. You see, we have been elevated into heavenly places because Christ is seated in heavenly places at the right hand of God Almighty. And if we are spiritually one with him, then we too are seated exactly in that place with Christ Jesus. All we have to do is finish the trip, saints. That is why God uses the past tense to describe our identification. Look at what he says in Ephesians, the 2nd chapter. Notice these words. He has quickened us together, has raised us up together, has made us sit together. Our current status is viewed through the lens of our togetherness with Jesus Christ. Do you believe that this afternoon? We identify with Jesus, and all the things that have happened to him are considered to have happened to us already. Oh, saints of God, we are citizens of heaven this afternoon. And we should live like that in this present world. You see, when we were born into the kingdom of God through the grace of Jesus and the power of his resurrection, our citizenship was transferred from the world rule by Satan to the heavenly kingdom of God, Almighty God. Colossians 1, turn with me there for a moment. And look at what Paul was saying there, the brethren there, in that 12th chapter of the first verse of Colossians. He said, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness. Have you been delivered from the power of darkness? If you've been delivered from the power of darkness, you know exactly what the Holy Spirit is saying this afternoon. It has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. He literally took us out of one kingdom, that kingdom of darkness, and he translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Praise our God. Oh, Philippians 3, verse 18. Look at what it says there in that scripture reading. Turn with me there for a moment. In verse 18 of that scripture reading, it says to us in Philippians 3, it says, for many walk of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly. Oh, we're living in that time right now. And whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is where? Where is our conversation? In heaven. From whence also we look for who? The Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks to God. I hope you're with me this afternoon. He says, who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto him. Look at what we're told in Ephesians 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Through our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, we enjoy the glories of heaven today. When it talks about heavenly places, meaning no longer are we down in the drudge of sin and all the things that are going on. As saints of God, we have a new spirit about us, a new life about us. We can enjoy this life that God has given us right here in this world. We don't have to walk around as many do right now complaining about everything that is going on. You think about it, people get up in the morning and the first thing they do is they begin to complain. Many don't even have a thanksgiving about Almighty God on their lips. You think about when you go out, if you wake up and it's raining, the first thing you'll hear people say, oh, it has to rain again. Oh, it is raining again. Well, you know, with rain, there'd be drought. And when there's drought, you're not going to have any food. So thank God for the rain. Amen? Amen. And then you turn around if the sun is shining. Then they'll begin to go out. Oh, it's too hot today. Oh, it's 90 degrees. Out. Well, you were just complaining it was below zero the other day, and now you're complaining about the rain. They complain about the snow being on the street. They complain about ice. They complain about everything. Do we ever take time to just say, thank you, Lord? I want to give God thanks, as Sister Regina said. I want to give God thanks. I think Sister Millicent the other day, or Sister Maria last Sunday, said, I just want to thank God for his blessing. Do we ever just get up and say, thank you, Lord? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, you allow me to see the dawning of a day. Thank you, Lord, I have food on my table. Thank you, Lord, I have a roof over my head. Because if you don't have a roof, you may be sleeping under the bridge. If you didn't have food, you'd be sitting there hungry. But you got to be able to thank God and not complain about everything that's going on in this life. Those of us who are saved, we now are in heavenly places. We see life differently. Oh, yes, we have trials, saints of God. Trials on every hand, each and every one of us in this room today, in this house of God, have gone through some trial. We think about our dear sister on Wednesday night. We wouldn't have known it until she mentioned it. She said she had been suffering with a headache, but we didn't hear that when she was giving her exhortation on a scripture to Brother Byron. We didn't hear her complaining. Oh, praise our God. That's a heavenly place, amen, in Christ Jesus. Oh, one day we'll be home, saints of God. Oh, and we will enjoy the glories of that land firsthand. But while you and I are here on this earth, we can still be blessed with all that God has given us. How many know what I'm talking about this afternoon? Thank God for what he has given us. You see, our present position is one of being quickened together with Christ. We've been raised up together with Christ and of being seated together with Christ in heavenly places. One day when we finally make it to heaven physically, we will fully enjoy and experience all those present realities. Even though we cannot fully comprehend it right here in this life right now, it does not change the truth. It is still true what the Word of God says. We are in Him, and where He is, we are. Praise our God. To the lost this afternoon, I can't make you believe the Word of God, but I can tell you that it will change your outlook on life if you will come to Almighty God. I can't explain it really well to you, but all I can say to you is hallelujah, He is risen. Hallelujah, He is alive in me. And I can say to you, and I am crucified, as Paul said in Galatians 2, verse 20, with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And the reason why is because of these two words that are found in Ephesians, the second chapter, verse 4, but God. And these five words, by grace ye are saved. Oh, saints of God, this is why we know that we did not get to this place of salvation by ourselves. Our salvation rests solely in the grace of Almighty God. We were dead in our sins and could not get to Him, but He came to you and I. We did not love Him, but He loved us. We did not want Him, but He wanted us. It is His amazing grace that reached down one day into the depths of our dead lives and our deceived and depraved condition. It was His grace that saved us. It was His grace that changed us, and it's His grace that helps us to identify with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is why we can't pat ourselves on the back and congratulate ourselves on making a good decision to come to Almighty God. We can't look at ourselves and say, God saw good in me, and God saved me. No, we must humbly acknowledge with the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. Do you believe that this afternoon? Yes. You see, the Apostle spent a lot of time defending his character in his apostleship. You Bible students know that there were some believers who did not accept Paul because of his prior life. And saints of God, you might be experiencing right now. There may be some in this life that do not accept you being saved. You know, when you were out there in the world, all of us were out there at one time. And we were doing everything that we were big enough to do. We were lying and cheating and stealing and drinking and doing all kinds of things. And there were people right alongside us that were lying, stealing and cheating. And now we come along and we say, we're saved. They may not accept you right off. They may look and say, what is she talking about? She was out here with me doing this, but she was out here. But you've got to be able to explain to them the new birth. You've got to be able to tell them what God saved you from and how God took you from that old life, and that our God is still with his arms wide open waiting to take them also. That God says, come unto me all ye that labor are heavy laden and I'll give you rest. That if they turn their life over to God, that they can live this life that you are living right now. Oh, Paul knew within himself that his life had changed. You and I know within ourselves that our lives have changed, that one time we were a wretched sinner, and now we are running for Almighty God. Look at how Paul explained it. Turn with me there to Galatians 1, and let us read what he told the brethren at Galatia. He says there in verse 13, look at what he says there. He said, for ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jewish religion, how that beyond measure, look at what Paul was saying here, saints of God,
I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. Oh, you think about it. You may say to me, well, Sister Renee, I didn't persecute the church of God. And I say to you, yes, we all persecuted the church of God when we were not living for God. That means we were living for the devil. And that means we were persecuting the church that God brought by his son Jesus Christ. He goes on to say here, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. Oh, Paul went on to say, but when it pleased God, praise be to Almighty God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. Oh, saints of God, do you know it's because of Almighty God that we are sitting here today? It's because of God's grace that we're able to serve him this afternoon. Paul went on to say, to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately I confer not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. See, Paul went back to where Paul had been persecuting. Remember, on the road to Damascus, Paul had a letter in his hand. The Sanhedrin council had given him permission to do what? To persecute the saints of God. And oh, Paul met who on that road? He met his Jesus, amen? He met our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Oh, and Jesus said to Paul, see, Paul thought he was only persecuting the saints. He thought he was going there, and all praise to God, you and I thought the same thing when we were out there in the world. When we were making fun of the saints who were here praying for us. Oh, I say here because I was raised right here in this congregation. And when I thought things were foolish, I've shared this with you before. Oh, when I was here a youngster in this congregation. And oh, I remember coming in and sitting in a congregation and hearing Elder Wilbur pour out his heart preaching the word of God. Oh, Elder Wilbur stood and he preached the word of God. How many know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
He labored hard for this congregation. He labored hard for many souls to be saved. And many have gone on different ways. But Pastor Wilbur labored very hard for souls. And many of us, as a hard-headed child, I would sit back and I would say, oh, no one can live like that. No one's going to want to live that way. Oh, praise be to Almighty God. When I met Jesus on my road to Damascus, and he suddenly turned me around, and he looked me and he looked Saul in the eye and said, Renee, Renee, why persecuted thou me? I'm putting myself here because I was persecuting Jesus. When I talked against the saints of God, I was persecuting Jesus Christ himself. He said, if you've done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. Oh, but I thank God that when that day when he spoke peace to my troubled soul, I heard him call my name. And I can sing as the song says here, he heard my cry once my soul was lost in sin and the tempter ruled within. Hope was gone and all dark despair. I had sought in vain for peace, but my soul found no relief till I took it to the Lord in prayer. Now the heavy load is gone and my life is filled. So how many can identify with what I'm saying? Jesus keeps me happy, glad, and free. Some God day on wings of love, I shall reach that home above, there to live with him eternally. What a meeting that will be when the blood-washed throne we see marching down the streets of shining gold, singing all with one accord, holiness unto the Lord, heaven's glory, then will all unfold. I was lost, doomed to die, not a ray of hope shut out for me, but the Lord, praise our God, heard my cry. He saved my soul and he gave me liberty. Praise God. Praise God.
You see, the resurrection sealed the Lord's promise that all who believe in him will experience resurrection life and share in eternity. Also, the resurrection defeated God's enemy and the enemy of our souls from the moment of his deceptive tactics in the Garden of Eden until the day of the cross. The devil has fought viciously and cunningly to try and overthrow the kingdom of Almighty God. You see, Jesus warned about this in Matthew, that 16th chapter. Turn with me there for a moment. And look, when he was speaking with his disciples, he said there, and starting in verse 13, he said, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He saith unto me, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter. Now, he wasn't saying here on Peter, on you, Peter, I'm building my church. No. He said, and upon this rock, meaning the solid truth of his eternal word, the solid truth of what Peter had just said to him, he said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall what? Not prevail against it. You know, the devil will try to come up. Oh, he will try to come as close as he can to try to get through the kingdom of, but Jesus already declared that the gates of hell should not prevail against it. He said, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Oh, he gave us the gospel. He gave them the gospel, and he's given you and I the gospel. Those are the keys that we need to go out and spread the good news about Jesus Christ. He said, I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whose whatsoever thou bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. When Pilate sentenced Jesus to death, you can read about it in Luke 23. And when Jesus died on that cross, Satan must have thought that he had dealt the final and decisive blow. But this was the devil's most serious miscalculation. You see, the cross was heaven's triumph, meaning it was his victory. And when Jesus Christ arose, the power of sin and death was forever shattered. Because of the resurrection, those who believe and are born again need never to fear Satan or death again. Because we are in Christ Jesus, we identify with him. We identify with him in resurrection. Paul says that God has quickened us together with Christ. The word quicken means to make alive. When God saves a lost soul, he brings that lost soul out of spiritual death and darkness, and he imparts to that lost soul the very resurrection life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our former lost condition became now a new creature in Christ Jesus. That former dead sinner was instantly born again. We were delivered from spiritual darkness, spiritual deception, spiritual depravity, spiritual doom. And now we've been given a life in Christ Jesus. How many know what I'm talking about? He said in John 10, verse 10, I am come that they may have life and that they might have it more abundantly. When a sinner is saved, he begins a new life in Christ Jesus. His walk is new. He's made alive to the things of God. He's no longer dead to God, no longer dead to the word of God. His worship, his will is that about Almighty God. You see, the things of God never used to move our minds when we were out there in sin. The things of God never thrilled our souls when we were out there in sin. But when we came to live with Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ live in us, the life that you and I now live in him is different. It is lived by faith in the Son of God. Praise our God this afternoon. Because we share life with Jesus Christ, it means that our tomorrows do not have to be like yesterday. You don't have to look at tomorrow and say, well, you have to say, well, you know, yesterday I was this and yesterday I did that and I, oh, no. Oh, we have a new outlook on life. We have a change that's come over us. We thank God that we don't have to look back at our old life and we don't have to look back and in glory and say, oh, yeah, when I was out there in sin, yeah, I used to do this. Oh, be careful. Be careful when you hear people try to glorify their old life. There is nothing to glorify in that old life when we lived out there in sin. I don't know about you, but there was nothing in my old life for me to glorify when I was out there in sin. But I thank God I can glory now in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I thank God he didn't take me while I was out there in my sin. I thank God that I was able to get saved when I got saved. And I thank God that I've been running for the Lord ever since. And I know you thank God, too, because our old life is nothing to speak about. It's nothing to brag about. Because when you think things over and look back over your life and think about what you were doing out there and what God delivered you from, you think about it, saints of God. I was listening to the news the other day, and this is not making light of any situation, but I know many of you probably saw it was on the news. And there was a family of four, and they probably were returning back from the spring break time. And they crossed over the median. Someone crossed over the median and hit their car head on. The entire family died in that crash. I was sitting there reading the names of the family, the father, the mother, the two children. And how the school where they go is going to have grief counselors there tomorrow because they come back to school from their spring break. And I was thinking to myself, Lord, we don't know where death is. We don't know when this life is going to be over. We don't know when you're going to call us home. An accident on the freeway. Or as sister was praying about somebody driving by shootings, we're hearing about that. People are just driving by in their car, shooting in people's homes. And it's not only in bad neighborhoods, but it's all happening in all neighborhoods. People are getting in arguments. You think about the young man. He said his life, he was having some troubles in his life. So he decided to get in his car and just go down to the Capitol and drive through the police officers that were down there killing one and putting one in the hospital. People's lives are turned upside down. People are looking for a hope. And that hope is in Jesus Christ. That hope is the new birth that you and I are told about in John 5:24, when Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. But it's sad to say that people are not hearing about Jesus Christ. These people are not hearing that he hath everlasting life coming to him. People are hearing about all kinds of things that are going on. Oh, you think about it today. Many houses are packed today. Many churches are packed with people going to church because many are celebrating Easter. Many have, I was driving by, Brother Tony and I were in the car the other day listening. A church was advertising to come to their services on Sunday. And they said, and after Sunday service, we'll go out in the back and we've got 10 acres and we're going to have an Easter egg hunt.
and people are flocking to places to have Easter eggs, and they're flocking there for bunnies and chickens and rabbits and various things. But the resurrection is not about an Easter bunny. It is not about a rabbit. It's not about chickens, or it's not about eggs, but it's about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ rising from the dead. If he had not arose, where would we be today? We would not be able to be saved. But many are failing to tell when they come in. Oh, some say, oh, they only come to church around the holiday times that the world observes. They come around Christmas. They come around Easter. I say when they come, just have a message from Almighty God. I don't care if they only come twice a year or if they only come once. Have a message from Almighty God about Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. Souls need to be saved. Souls need to know that time is winding up. Our times are perilous all around us. Look around, saints of God. Not only are folks dying from COVID, but folks are dying from shooting, going into the grocery stores, their daily, everyday lives. People are dying in record number, and not all that are dying are on their way to the kingdom of God. Praise our God. You'll hear people say, and we've said this before, oh, my loved one is resting in peace. Or God needed an angel. I've heard people say this before when their son or daughter has been arrested or killed because they were in some drug way. Well, God needed an angel. And they'll have a shirt on with their loved one's name and an angel and wings and all these kind of things. And then they'll have rest in peace. How do you rest in peace when your life was full of sin? How do you rest in peace when you left this world and you didn't know Jesus? Only those who are resting in peace are those who know the peace of Jesus Christ that passes all understanding. Praise our God. Oh, we thank God for his word of God. Thank God for the spirit of God. Oh, this is not trying to put out anyone, but we've got to know about the resurrection, why it matters. Why his birth, his death, and his burial, and his rising mean something to you and I. Amen. Because Jesus had to be born. He had to walk the shores of Galilee. He had to come here to show you and I that you can live this life here in this world. Oh, then he had to die. Why? Because there was no one else worthy to die but the Lamb of Almighty God. He was the only one that knew no sin, and neither was guile found in his mouth. David wasn't worthy. Abraham wasn't worthy. Isaac wasn't worthy. No one was worthy, but the Lamb of God was worthy to die for our sin. The word of God tells you and I, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but has everlasting life. Praise our God. Then he had to be buried. Why? All the world had to see the power of our God, because Jesus had already prophesied and told them, oh, that he would rise in 3 days. When they thought he was talking about the temple being destroyed, they thought he was talking about the building, the mortar, and all of that. But no, Jesus was talking about himself, letting them know. And in 3 days, he rose from the grave. Oh, and he's alive right now, sitting on the right-hand side of God the Father. He is the mediator. He is the only mediator between God and mankind. Praise our God. Oh, praise our God. Now that you and I are living a life for Jesus Christ, we have risen from a dead life of sin and shame. We are now living a new life for the glory of Almighty God. This is what Jesus was conveying to Martha at the death of Lazarus. Turn with me there for a moment in John, the 11th chapter, verse 25. Says there in that scripture,
Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? In verse 44, when he brought Lazarus back from the dead, he said these words. He said, and I'm paraphrasing, loose him and let him go. Jesus set him free from the grave clothes. You see, Lazarus was alive. He was no longer dead. And a live man does not have to wear the clothes of a dead man. The same for you and I this afternoon that have been redeemed, that have been set free from sin and bondage. When God sees his redeemed ones, he sees us as a resurrected people. That's right, 2,000 years ago when Jesus Christ rose from the grave, all the redeemed walked out with him. We no longer have need to wear clothes of a dead man. That is where we walk in newness of life. You see, the clothes of a dead man are those of one who is still in sin. Paul in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, tells us how to walk in this new life. He is telling us to take off those grave clothes. They symbolize sin and they symbolize death. You see, God through the blood of his son has brought us forth from the grave of sin. We have been resurrected. We are no longer dead. We are alive in Christ Jesus. Yes, it is true, as Paul says in chapter 2 of Ephesians, we used to live among the dead at one time. We were constantly gratifying this flesh, and we were going about the desires and thoughts of this world. Because of God's great love for us, he made us alive with Christ Jesus. Just like Lazarus, when Jesus called us forth from the tombs of sin and we responded to his call, now we live a life in Christ Jesus. We are alive in him. And like Lazarus, we needed to remove those grave clothes, because what use does an alive man in Christ Jesus have with dead man's clothes? I have no more use for the dead man clothes of sin, but I have a lot to do with Christ Jesus. I am now clothed in the righteousness of him. This is why we're told in the word of God. Turn with me to Colossians, that first chapter. Look at what it tells you and I to do, and how we are to, what we are to put on. I mean, the third chapter, he tells you and I, we take off those old grave clothes. And guess what you and I do now? We put on, therefore, as the elect of God. He said, holy, beloved, vows of mercy, oh, saints of God, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another. Oh, we had this in our Sunday school lesson, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. And above all these things, what did he tell you and I to put on when we take off those grave clothes? He tells you and I to put on what? Charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Praise God. We have no use for those clothes any longer. Paul said in Ephesians 4, turn with me there for a moment. Look at what he says there, starting with verse 17. Now that we no longer wear those clothes of the grave, we've got to walk in purity of body, soul, spirit, and mind. Paul says, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth not walk not as what? Other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. Oh, saints of God, we are new creatures in Christ Jesus. He went on to say there, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness. We're living in a very lustful time right now, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. Oh, he said, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus that you put off. See, when you take off those old gray clothes, look at what he's telling here. You put off the former conversation, the old man who is corrupt according to what? The deceitful us, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. See, a change has to come over you. Your mindset has to change. Your heart has to change. You no longer have that old stony heart, but you got a heart of flesh. You don't have the mind of the world, but you have the mind of Jesus Christ. He went on to say here, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. He said, wherefore put away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Oh, my God. He goes on to say here, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. He goes on, let him that stole steal no more. Where sister broke some of these things down in our Sunday school lesson this morning. He said, but rather him labor, working with his hands, the things which is good, that he may have to give to them that need it. You know, in that old life, you may have said, I went into the store and I slid some things into my pocket, or I went into the store and it gave me too much money back. Oh, but my Bible tells him, now that you are a new creature in Christ Jesus and that you're living in righteousness and true holiness, he said, let him that steal, who stole, steal no more. Don't let God catch you going back in and trying to steal some more. He said, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Oh, God wants you now to share with someone else, because by the grace of God, you didn't get caught and aren't incarcerated for stealing. He went on to say here, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. He goes on to say, let all bitterness, oh, saints of God, and wrath and anger. There are so many professing Christians walking around that are angry about everything. Everything. But he said, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all what? Malice. And look at what he tells you and I. Be ye what? Kind one to another. Tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Then he says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children and walk in love. I'm in chapter 5. As Christ also has loved us and has given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Remember, we now no longer are walking with those grave clothes on, saints. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Saints of God aren't shacking up. Saints of God are not participating in uncleanness or covetousness. Then he went on to say, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving thanks. You know, the other day, Brother Tony and I, as we were in the vehicle on our way home, we were listening to the station, and it's a Christian station, supposed to be. And the young man on there, he was talking about resurrection and all the various things going on. And then he began to, you know, invite souls to come to God. And he's telling them, well, you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to do all these things because, you know, I'm saved and I still curse. And then he turns around and he says, you know, let me pray. And I said, how can he pray? And then he begins praying. And I said, how can he pray? See, this is the misconception that is out there.
Yeah, yeah.
I can live like the devil, but I can still offer up a prayer on your behalf. Not so. Not so. I That's why Paul told us we're no longer in those grave clothes, saints. He went on to say here in verse 4, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, I always get these wrong, has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ, thank you, sis, and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because these things cometh the wrath of God upon what? The children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. Don't partake of these things with other people. Don't look at them and say, well, they're doing it, so I guess it's okay to do. Not so. For ye were sometimes, excuse me, look at what he says there in verse 8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as what? Children of light.
Amen.
For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness. Enter. You think about it, saints of God. Oh, Paul went on to let us know when we had those grave clothes on, we were sometimes we were in darkness. But now we don't no longer have those grave clothes on. We've been resurrected to a new life in Jesus Christ. We are to walk in the Lord, walk as children of life. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Then he went on to say, proving what is acceptable unto God. We've got to prove that. He went on to say, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. You know, saints of God, sometimes we're going to have to change some of our friends. If our friends don't want to come along the way that we're trying to go, if they want to try to keep you out there hanging around, so to speak, and things that you know are wrong, you may have to change your acquaintances. You may have to say, I can no longer hang with you. And when they ask, you got to say, I'm a new man. I'm a new woman in Christ Jesus. I no longer can hang around with this. Then he goes on to say here, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, meaning they are revealed by the light of the gospel of Almighty God. For whatsoever does make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, and Christ should give you life. You got to know that your life comes from Jesus Christ. He goes on to say, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as what? Saints of God, we've got to walk gingerly. We've got to walk carefully. He goes on to say, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. All our days evil all around us. Are we seeing it? He goes on and he says there, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Do you understand what the will of God is for your life? He says there, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. This doesn't mean, oh, God is saying I can drink, so it's okay for me to go ahead. No, he was using this as an example. He was telling, but be filled with the Spirit. You know, when a person is drunk with wine and they're inebriated, they are just fully into that wine is what's controlling them. So now that you are out of those old grave clothes, let the Spirit of God be that which is controlling your life. He went on to say, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making what? Melody in your heart to who? The Lord. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise our God. Oh, thanks to God. Paul lets us know how we are to walk. Now that we no longer have on grave clothes, praise our God. We've got a way to go, saints of God. To make sure we have the purity that God wants us to have. You know, it's an exhortation to a holy living. And I know our world will say to you in a heartbeat, oh, no one can live holy. But what I've just read here in the Word of God, if you're not walking in the light and you're not walking according to the Word of God and not doing these things, you are not going to get into the kingdom of Almighty God. Amen? Yeah. In our scripture reading this morning, we read Matthew 28. Our subject text came from verse 5 and 6. Let us look at the events of the tomb on that day, the day Jesus rose from the dead. Yes, it is important because if the story of Jesus ended with him being buried in a tomb and with a stone being rolled across the door, there would be no hope today. Paul told us in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 19, if in this life we have hope in Christ, we are all men most miserable. The fact is, if Jesus Christ died on the cross and did not rise from the dead, everything we live for and believe as Christians means absolutely nothing. But oh, he arose. Hallelujah, Christ arose. Yes, he is risen. And because he is able to save the souls. He is able to give life. He's able to change souls from the vile creatures they are into his image for his glory. Jesus is alive, just like the angel said. That was a message those women needed to hear that resurrection morning. And it's a message that folks need to hear this beautiful Sunday morning, that he is risen. And because he's alive, that they can live also. You see, people today move through this world and they're enslaved in their sins. They move through this world oblivious to the things of Almighty God that exist to save their soul. Satan has blinded the eyes of mankind into thinking that either there is no God in heaven or that there is a good God and he will not send people to hell. Yes, you are right. He is a good God, and it is not God that will send you to hell, but your sins will. Romans 1, verse 18, turn with me there for a moment, says in that scripture reading, the wrath of God is revealed. You know, we're living time, people will tell you, oh, God is too good to send you to hell. But look at what he says here, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. You see, people are going to be without excuse. You can't go around and say, well, I didn't know about God.
That's right.
Too much information on the internet about God. A lot of it is erroneous, but there's a lot of information out there you can get on the know about who Jesus is. And when you look around, look at what he said, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. You can see the trees and the air and the beautiful thing. You can't see the air, but you can breathe the air God gives to each and every one of us. He said, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without what? Excuse. Because that while they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened.
Yeah.
See, many live in this world without joy. Many live in this world without peace, without hope. They're trapped in darkness. They're trapped in their sins. Many are headed to hell today. They live unaware that joy unspeakable and full of glory could be there, that they would all knew that the tomb was empty, that Jesus was alive, and that they could be delivered from the bondage of sin and darkness. Yes, Jesus' resurrection is a message of eternal life in him. It's a message of peace. It's a message of power, a message of hope, a message of love for the lost soul this afternoon. If Christ had not risen from the dead, we would all be still dead in our sins. To the lost this afternoon, that empty tomb is still preaching to you today. That tomb still tells this world that our Jesus is alive and that he is able to save all who will come to him by faith and belief. Oh, to the sinner friend, let no one fool you. If you are trapped in the deadness and darkness of your sins, you need Jesus Christ today. Your life that you are now living is not free. Oh, we live in a world that touts itself on freedom. However, the freedom that many talk about is nothing but slavery to sin.
That's right. Amen.
Oh, you talk to the average Christian, and I say average, because that is where most people are today. They will tell you that they still sin. Oh, they still do a little bit of this. They still lie. They still cheat.
They still do sinful things. Oh, brother broke it down for us on Wednesday night. He let us know how we are to live our lives for Almighty God. You see, if you're still living a life of sin and cheating and stealing and doing things and lying and carrying on, you have not met Jesus.
Amen.
Because he is able to keep you from lying. He is able to keep you from cheating. He is able to keep you. You think about it. When people tell you that they're saved and they're serving God, all at the same time, they're telling you about a God who is all powerful, who's able to do all things but fail. However, he is not able to keep them from lying, cheating, stealing. He's not able to keep them from living a sinful life. But my Bible tells me totally different. My Bible tells me in Jude 24, turn with me there for a moment. It said, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. Our God is able. If you want to be kept, our God is able to keep you and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory. Not only is he able to keep you, but he's able to present you to himself. He goes on to say here, before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Oh, our God is not going to present you if you're not living for him. Can you imagine? You come down there and you're saying to people, I live for the Lord, but I do this and I sin and I eat, I do things that are not according to the word of God. And do you think God wants you walking around saying that you belong to him? Not so. Our God is looking for righteous and holy people. He's looking for people who have turned away from sin and shame and are living a lifestyle for him. Look what he says in verse 25. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Yes, our God Amen. Is able to keep you if you want to be kept.
Amen.
This is why as saints of God, we've got to be steadfast in our walk with God so that we can live holy lives for him in this present world. The world's got to see the difference. Jesus did not die to keep us in sin, but he died to deliver us
Amen.
From a life of sin. The Lord Jesus lives today, and he can deliver souls from sin. He can transport a soul into a new life in him. How many know what I'm talking about this afternoon? You see, when Mary and Martha came to the sepulcher, they brought, we are told, in sweet spices in Mark, that 16th chapter, so that they might come and anoint him. They were come to minister to the body of a dead man. They, along with others, had witnessed and others had heard of the death of Jesus on the cross. And they were coming to pay their last respects to the body of the Lord. Oh, saints of God, we're almost through here. Hang in with me. In Matthew, we are told in verse 3, and they said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulcher? They did not know how a supernatural event had happened and that the stone that was used to seal the tomb was rolled back by the angel of the Lord. Matthew 28, verse 2 says, that for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven, came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. And then over in Mark, the 16th chapter, verse 5 says, there in that scripture, in entering into the sepulcher, they saw a young man sitting on the right hand, clothed in a long white garment. And they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, be not affrighted. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. He says, but go ye your way. Tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him as he said unto you. And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulcher, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And she went out and told them that had been with him as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. And after that, he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it unto the residue. Neither believed they them. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. You see, the message of the empty tomb is that God can roll the stone away from your stony heart. Come to Jesus and be saved. Come to Jesus and let him change your life. In your leisure, I ask you to read all of the gospel accounts of the resurrection. Matthew 28, Mark 16, Luke 24, and John 20. All of the gospel writers reveal facts about that day. And there's no contradiction. Some of them left out some things that others picked up, but there's no contradiction in any of the gospel. You see, in each gospel account, the core story is the same. He is not here, for he is what? Risen. To the lost this afternoon, we're told in John 20, verse 11, that Mary Magdalene stood without at the sepulcher weeping. She lingered at the tomb after the others had gone away. Here was a woman that owed much to Jesus. There had been a time in her life when she had been possessed by seven demons, we just read it, which Christ cast out of her. Her life had been fully changed by Jesus, and she loved him more than life itself for what he had done for her. Just like you and I this afternoon have been redeemed by his blood. The Gospel of Matthew 27, verse 61 records that she was one of the last at the cross, and she was the first to see him after he had risen from death. Her heart was broken that morning, but she came to love him. She came to worship him. Can you and I identify with her this afternoon? To those who can, Jesus rolled the stones of sin out of our lives. The stones in our lives represented death. That stone at the sepulcher represented the certainty of death. For them, that stone was an exclamation point at the end of the sentence of death. That stone said, he is gone forever. But thank God, the Lord took care of that stone not to let Jesus out. He was long gone before that angel ever arrived on the scene. That stone was rolled away so that man could look into the tomb and see that it was forever empty. As the angel began to speak to the women there that morning, the greatest obstacle of all was removed. Oh, he began to tell them a message that inspired them to believe in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice what the angels reminded them of. They were reminded of the crucifixion. Of course, they knew about it because they had been there. Still, the fact of his death was emphasized. They were reminded of the importance of his death on the cross. See, his death provided the sacrifice that was needed to cleanse sinners from their sins and to make them right with Almighty God. You think about it, saints of God, and we know this scripture quite well in Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, verse 4, when it says, surely he has borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. The angel was telling them, you are here at this tomb, but Jesus isn't here. He is risen. Oh, to the lost. This was the greatest announcement ever to fall upon human ears. His death was perfect.
eternal payment for our sins. His resurrection was God's receipt for the full amount. You see, a dead Savior can save no one, but a living Savior can offer salvation to all who come to him by faith. How many know what I'm talking about? When Jesus died on the cross, he said, "It is finished." When he rose from the dead, God the Father said, "I am satisfied. Debt paid in full." Praise our God.
Thank you.
Now Jesus has proven that he was who he had claimed to be all along, the resurrection and the life. Now he could declare his victory over death. Oh, we're told in Revelation, the first chapter, verse 18. I know the children are getting a little restless, but we hang in there just a little bit. He said, "I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death." We're also told in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 55. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Now you and I can look to him by faith and be confident of his power to save us. To the lost this afternoon, he arose for you too. He is still speaking to you this afternoon. He is letting you know that he is the resurrection in the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Do you want to live this afternoon? You see, those who went to the tomb were reminded by the angel what he had said that he would do. However, unbelief and grief had come upon them. Later when Peter and John arrived there, John records the fact that the linen cloths that had been wrapped around Christ's body were laying there in empty, like an empty cocoon. And while the napkin that had been about his face was folded in place by itself, the Bible says there in John 20, verse 8, "Then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulcher, and he saw and believed." There are two reasons why the appearance and arrangement of the grave clothes are of such importance. First, there was no human intervention. If someone had taken the body, they could not have removed it through the grave clothes. And if it's likely that they wouldn't have removed them anyway, they would have taken the body with them still wrapped in the cloth that bound it. Neither would they have taken the time to fold the napkin, but it too would have been taken with the body, or at least it would have been discarded, not just folded in some nice form, laying there on the side. In short, the empty tomb was a scene of perfect order.
Praise God.
This suggested a resurrection had taken place. I took the Liberty Saints and I read about the ancient Oriental custom of napkins. When a man with servants was eating a meal, he would often use his napkin to signal them during the course of the meal. If he left the table and wadded his napkin up, it meant that he was finished and would not be back. If, however, he neatly folded the napkin, it told his servant that he was stepping away for a moment, but he would be back.
Praise God.
What are you saying, Sister Renee? Jesus was telling his disciples, "I may be gone out of your sight right now, but I'll be back."
Praise God.
When Peter and John arrived at the tomb, they feared the worst. Perhaps they thought robbers had come or that the Jews had taken his body away. Even Mary missed the napkin and supposed the gardener had moved the body. Yet John, who had been raised with servants, probably knew custom. And he quickly grasped the meaning, and he saw, and the word of God said he believed. What about you this afternoon? Do you believe the Bible?
Thank you, Lord.
You believe the Bible story that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, that he came to deliver mankind from sin, that his death, burial, and resurrection was significant to our redemption. Do you believe that he conquered death and is alive forevermore? Oh, what a glorious message.
Thank you, Lord.
Those women were given that day. It was a message of hope, a message of life, a message of victory. It was a message that everyone needed to hear. It still is the message for lost souls this afternoon. That empty tomb
preached a powerful message early that morning. It told a story of a risen Savior. Those garments laying there proclaimed to the world that everything that Jesus had claimed, everything that Jesus had preached, everything he promised had came true. Oh, praise our God. You see, just 3 days before the disciples had watched their Lord be arrested, tried, convicted, and crucified, now they had evidence and proof that he was alive and well.
Praise.
What about you and I? Do we believe this afternoon? Is it still a powerful message for us? Is it still a powerful message that our Lord and Savior has arisen from the grave? You see, if it had been another man, his bones would have been rotten. His bones would have been decaying there in that grave. But because he was the sinless Son of God, it was not possible that death could hold him. Praise our God. And because he died a sinless death on the cross, God accepted his sacrifice in the place of ourselves. And now our God gives us the promise that we too shall rise from the dead. And all that because he left his clothes behind. Praise our God.
Thank you, Lord.
Saints of God, may we never forget the message of the tomb. Let it be fresh in our mind today. May we do as they did and carry the message to souls that are lost and dying in this world. Do you remember the day that Christ spoke peace to your soul? Do you remember the words of peace that made your burdens roll? That's what the song that he broke chains, where it says, my life was lost in sin and shame, the way I could not see. But Jesus came, oh, bless his name, and set my spirit free. He walks with me each hour and day in fellowship divine. His grace will lead me all the way, for he is truly mine. I'm satisfied with this dear friend. See, Jesus is a friend of us, saints. He's all in all to me. I'll trust him till this life does end and through eternity. When I shall see him face to face in that sweet home above, I'll thank him for his wondrous grace and for redeeming love. I'll never forget the day he spoke to my troubled soul.
Yes.
Words of peace that made my burden roll. He broke the chains that bound, and he set all my joy bells ringing. Praise to his matchless name. Oh, he is worthy of our praise this afternoon. He is worthy of all of our praise, saints of God. Oh, we thank God for his word. We thank God that we can live and face tomorrow because of Jesus Christ, and that he is risen. You can thank God for that. See, when the Lord spoke to Mary and her sister Martha, it was to comfort their hearts and confirm their mission. He assured them that all was well and that the time to be afraid and was forever past, that he was alive, that he would take care of all that arose. Oh, that is a glorious news for you and I, saints of God. Our living Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is saying to you and I this afternoon that I can give you peace and assurance that you don't have to worry about this afternoon. All you have to do is come to me. All you have to do is live for me. You see, people want to turn around and say, oh, you know, there are others who have died, but I say to you, there's no others who have died and risen from the grave as our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You think about it. All religious systems in the world are bothered by the empty tomb. You see, you can travel to China and find the tomb of Buddha, and it will stay occupied over it. You can travel to the Middle East. You can find the tomb of Muhammad, and it will say occupied over the door. You can travel to Russia and look at the body of Lenin and his glass coffin, and the sign will say occupied. But travel to Palestine and look at the tomb hewn out of the rock, that tomb where they tell us the body of Jesus lay. What does the sign say over the door? Vacant. That empty tomb sounds the death toll. Oh, it lets the world know, he's not here. As the angels told them, he's not here, for he's risen. As he said, come, see the place where the Lord lay. There is only one who descended into the death and came to life again. And that is the eternal victor over death for all. And his name is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
As we close, to the lost, don't get wrapped up in the hype around chocolate bunnies, colored eggs, and gifts. But know for yourself, because he lives, those who place their faith and trust in him can live too. Those in the graves will come forth one day, all of us. Those who have gone on are going to come forth. The word of God tells us, you can read about in Thessalonians 4. And those who are alive when he comes will never taste death. Because he died, he tasted death for you and I. We ought to thank God that day death lost battle with life forever.
Yes.
Praise our God.
Yes.
Thank God that that day the battle was forever won for you and me. Thank God for that day our Savior rose from the dead. Listen to the words of this hymn. Up from the grave. And I said, we are closing. He said, lo, in the grave he lay, Jesus, my Savior, waiting the coming day, Jesus, my Lord. Vainly they watched his bed, Jesus, my Savior. Vainly they sealed the dead, Jesus, my Lord. Death cannot keep its prey, Jesus, my Savior. He tore the bars away, Jesus, my Lord. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph over his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose. Hallelujah. Christ arose. God bless you is my prayer.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Christ arose. Amen. Thank God for his word. That's something to say hallelujah about, isn't
Amen.
It?
Amen.
Amen. Thank God. I was thinking as Pastor Jenkins was preaching, she was talking about Jesus talking to Martha. And this is on the occasion of Lazarus being dead. But Jesus told her, I am the resurrection
yes.
and the life.
Amen.
So he had the power at that time to raise Lazarus. But then also looking forward, knowing that he himself would be raised. So not only was he a part of a resurrection
right.
of his own, but he is the resurrection.
Amen.
And that through him, we can have life.
Amen.
We can be lived from a miserable life of sin. We can be taken from the congregation of the dead to the kingdom of light and life.
Praise
Thank God. Thank he said, because I live, ye shall live also. So our life in him is only through his resurrection. There are people who walk around wearing the cross, but it didn't end at the cross, did it?
No. Thank God.
Amen. So we don't worship the cross as an artifact, a religious article, but we worship our Lord
Amen.
Because he conquered death. Thank God. Shall we stand? Thank God for this message today. Amen. Amen. I like part about the napkin. Amen. Amen. It's folded. Amen. He's gone away, but he's coming back.
Amen. And so we have to be ready. Amen. If there's anyone who's not ready, if there's anyone who found themselves, even as Sister Laurentine prayed at the beginning, before the message went forth, if there's anyone who found themselves somewhere in the message, because we were admonished to walk as children of light. If we say that we're saved, then we have to walk as children of light and not be found guilty of some of those things that she mentioned. And this is the time to get it right, to get it straight. We don't want to be found a sinner.
Amen.
When the Lord Jesus comes again, he died and he rose again that we might have life. And we don't want to come short in any point.
Amen.
Of what God has instructed us to be when Jesus comes again. Amen. So even before we even know what the song will be, I want us to just meditate and think on what was preached. If we found that when Pastor was talking about the man on the radio, the so-called Christian station, who said that he was saved and yet he curses. But the word of God says these things ought not so to be. Amen. We can't have blessing and cursing out of the same mouth. That's not pleasing to God. We can't be rejecting a portion of God's word and not living to all that the word says and say, well, I do 7 out of 10. That's not so. That's not pleasing to God. But the song that was sung, I am fully saved today, means obeying the word of God. Walk in the light as it shines on your pathway, the light of God's word. And we can't be hopping and skipping out of part of, we're walking part of the way, but then hopping and hiding from other parts of the word. We cannot please God.
Amen.
Pastor read the words of the song. Sin can never enter there.
Amen.
No part of sin. Amen. There were so many things to think. I pray that we were not only meditating and taking in the word, but writing down scriptures and thinking about it so we can meditate even as we leave here. Because the Spirit of God will bring it to our remembrance. Amen. Thank God for the word today. What is our song? 399 in the Worship the Lord. Will you come? Will you come? Will you come to Jesus? Will you come to his word? Amen. 399.
Praise our God. Praise our God.
Will you come to Jesus? He is calling. Will you come to him without delay? He is full of love, so kind and gracious. He will surely save your soul today. Will you come to him, the Lord of all? Will you come to him? For mercy call, will you come to him and prostrate fall? Will you come? Will you come to Jesus, full of mercy? Will you give him time and talent too? Will you not prepare sinner to your precious soul be true? Will you come to him, the Lord of all? Will you come to him for mercy call? Will you come to him and cross?
Tomorrow's not promised. 8 o'clock this evening's not promised.
Nope.
Just receive him, and in mercy, he will make you whole. You can be fully saved in him through his blood. You know, people walking around and they're dead. And you might say, well, you know, it's, we're not talking about a zombie thing.
No. Mm-hmm.
That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about dead in trespasses and sins. And the only way out of it is through Jesus. Won't you come?
Amen.
Will you come to Jesus? Time is flying. Do not wait a moment. Come just now. Many souls in sin. They are dying. Come and at his feet repenting now. Will you come to him, the Lord of all? Will you come to him for mercy call? Will you come to him and prostrate fall?
Jesus is pleading. He's pleading. Amen. Amen. Thank God. Thank you, Sister Millicent. Amen. Thank the Lord. You think about the sacrifice that Jesus made. Shouldn't we all serve him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. How many understood the message?
Amen.
Amen. Thank God. Amen. Amen. Thank God. Is there one who has a need? Is there one who would come to an altar? Is there one who say, pray for me? Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Thank God. Thank God for his word today, his precious, precious truth today. Truly, we're privileged to hear the truth. There's so much error out in the world and so many different winds of doctrine, so we are truly blessed to hear the truth. Shall we look to the Lord in prayer, remembering the upraised hands? Dear God, our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your word today. Lord, we thank you, dear Father, for the strength and power of your word, dear God. We thank you, dear God, for our pastor, dear God, who delivered the word that you gave to her, dear Father. Lord, we thank you, dear Father, for the truth of it, dear Father. And to know, dear God, that we need not be deceived, dear Father, by any wind of doctrine, Lord, by any error that's gone out into the world. For we know, Lord, there is a spirit of error in this era, dear God. And people are taking the bait and they're biting on it, dear Father, and they're running with it, dear God, Lord, to the destruction of their very souls. And so we thank you today, dear God, for truth. From your Holy Spirit. Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would help us, dear Father, to take a stand for your word, to walk in the light, dear God, you have shined on our pathway. Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would remember your upraised hand, dear God, that said, Lord, remember me. Lord, help me, Lord, to walk according to your word, dear Father. Lord, we pray, dear God, that you'd remember each soul, Lord, that heard your word today, dear God. Lord, whether it's in this building, dear God, or on the phone, dear God, or over the system, or, Lord, how the media system, Lord, however it came, dear Father. Lord, we're praying, dear God, for each soul that heard your word today, dear Father. Lord, we pray, dear God, that your spirit would go forth, dear God, dealing with souls, dear Father. Lord, we pray, dear God, that those, Lord, who are called by your name, dear God, those, Lord, who are claiming you as Lord and Savior, Lord, help us, Lord, to walk worthy, dear God. Help us, dear Father, to measure to all of your words, dear Father. Help us, Lord, to realize, dear God, what we've been redeemed from, dear Father. Help us, Lord, to truly work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, dear God, that we may remain saved, dear God, from a miserable life of sin. But we realize, dear God, that we're going to have to endure unto the end. Lord, the race is not to the swift, dear God, nor the battle to the strong, Lord, but they that will endure unto the end. So, Lord, help us, Lord, to endure no matter what comes, dear Father. Lord, it may be opposition, dear God. It may be foes that try to obstruct our way. Lord, it may be afflictions, dear God. And, Lord, where the enemy will try to bring discouragement on us, dear Father. But, Lord, help us, Lord, to hold true and steadfast unto the end, dear God. For, Lord, we know, Lord, therein lies our deliverance. Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would help us, dear God, again, to be your children indeed. Help us, Lord, to be examples of believers, dear God. And, Lord, if there is one, dear God, who does not believe, Lord and Father, if there's one who is not saved, dear God, Lord, then that one does not believe, dear Father. Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would speak to the hearts and souls, Lord, of those who are yet unsaved. Lord, that they may seek you, Lord, while you may be found, and call upon you, cry out to you, Lord, while you are near. Lord, we pray, dear God, for souls today, dear Father, and pray, dear God, that your spirit would go forth, dear God, that your spirit would strive, dear God, with their hearts and with their minds, dear Father, and Lord, let them, Lord, be comfortable. Don't let them be peaceful. Don't let them be at ease in sin, dear God, but truly, dear Father, pray, dear God, that they would seek to know you in the pardon of their sins, knowing, dear God, that the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Father, we're praying, Lord, for souls that will seek Jesus Christ our Lord. Have your way, Lord, in our hearts and minds. Help us, dear God, Father, to be strengthened, dear God, by the power, God, of your might and by the power of your word. And truly, Lord, we're going to give you glory and praise as we ask in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. And we thank you again, Lord, for your word. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. You may be seated. And thank God. Thank God for his word. Amen.
God, our Father, Lord, we come to you, dear God, because, Lord, you said you could. Lord, you said, Lord, we could bring our afflictions to thee, dear God. Lord, our passage is being quoted in Isaiah 53 by Christ. And so, Lord, we thank you, dear God, for that you've allowed, dear God, for the healing of these bodies, Lord, that you've given to us. Lord, you've given us eyes, Lord, to see, dear Father. And Lord, we know, dear God, that you're able to touch. We know that you're able to bless. And so we come to you, dear God, along with Sister Lauren. Lord, we say, Lord, many times we've been wanting to pray for when they say we're bringing Sister Lauren to you, but Lord, she's already with you, dear God. So, Lord, we're coming with her to you, dear God. Lord, on her behalf, dear Father. Lord, asking, Lord, be this our eyes, dear God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, you gave us these eyes, Lord, for a purpose, dear Father. And, Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would bless her, touch her eyes, dear God. Lord, we know, dear Father, that you would bless her, dear God, that you would be able to read your word. Lord, that you would be able to be of service to thee, dear God. Lord, we know, dear Father, that she's looking to you and trusting you, dear Father. Lord, we realize, dear God, that many of us, dear God, as we get older, dear God, there are issues, Lord, that we have with our eyes, dear Father. Lord, I have them too, dear Father. But, Lord, we know, dear God, that you're able to touch us, dear God. Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would touch, Lord, that the Lord sees, dear Father. Lord, pray, Lord, that you would touch her, give her clarity in her eyes, dear God. Father, we know, dear God, that you're able, dear Father. So, Lord, we're praying in faith, dear God. Lord, we know, dear Father, that your will be done, dear God. And Lord, if it be not your will, Lord, to touch us among the enemy, dear God, and others, perhaps, dear God, who are having trouble with their idols, we still say amen. Lord, we're still going to serve you. We're still going to believe in you, dear God. Lord, our faith will not fail, dear God. Because, Lord, we know that your grace is sufficient. But, Lord, we're coming believing, dear Father, that you're able, Lord, to touch Sister Lauren's eyes, dear God. Lord, and give her, Lord, the sight that she needs, dear God, that she may be, Lord, everything that she does, we see your honor and to your glory. Amen. Lord, we're not doubting, dear God, your power in any way, dear God. Lord, we know, dear God, that you're able to touch you. You're able to clear up, dear Father. And so, Lord, we're going to thank you in advance, dear God, for your mighty power, dear God, what we know you're able to do. This we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank God. For our announcements, always pray one for another during the week. 1 Samuel 12:23. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way. In the book the Bible teaches, we are studying about how to draw closer to God for our Bible study. The spring dates are May 24th through 28th, and our fall dates are September 20th through the 24th. Please read chapters 4, 5, 6, 7, and 11. Please remember our facilitators, Brother Levester Jackson and Brother Maurice Blake, in prayer as they are preparing to give us what the Lord has shared with them. Please pray for this work in the Lord. Wednesday night, prayer meeting and Bible study will be at 7 p.m. by phone. And it says, first Wednesday, bring a scripture to share. But in Sunday school, our superintendent, Brother Byron, said we're going to kind of expand a little bit on that on today's Sunday school lesson, which I thank the Lord for, because as he said, there's so much that's there, and there just wasn't time to, when we all came together, not enough time to get into it the way we would like to get into it. So I thank the Lord that he told you to bring it that way. And so you might want to take your Sunday, well, I won't say you might want to, we'll make an assignment. Have your Sunday school book ready on Wednesday night. And if you need to go back over, look back over the lesson again, you might want to highlight. You can write in the books. They're yours now. So if you want to highlight or circle something or something like that, feel free. Amen. Thank the Lord. Happy birthday blessings.
And for the first birthday blessing that's on there, first I want to correct and apologize because I believe before the message, and I mentioned I was recognizing different ones who came, and I was recognizing Sister Kiba and also Sister Lillian. I said Sister Lillian wasn't here during prayer because, but the Lord brought back me. Yes, she was. She came in just shortly after Sunday school, so I wanted to make that correction. She was here. I don't believe that she voiced a request, but she was here, and I wanted to make that correction. She was definitely here. Amen. Happy birthday blessing, Sister Lillian Harrod. Tomorrow, April the 5th.
Praise God.
Amen.
Happy birthday.
Amen. 17 months after me. Amen. Amen. No, all I said was 17 months after me. It's always been 17 months after me, no matter how old I was. Amen. Amen. Happy birthday. Amen. Also, Sister Malvinia on April the 7th. Amen. Thank the Lord. And Sister Malvinia, you know, she lives in New York. And so every time we get new Sunday school books and so on, I send her new Sunday school books and the pathways and the daily breads to her. And she's thankful. And I send her two. So there's someone there. I can't remember if it's her sister or someone that she is also who gets the other one as well. So we thank God. And we know that from time to time she'll call and she'll leave or leave a message that she's getting the book and she's praying for all the saints and sending her love. Amen. We thank God for blessing Sister Millicent and Brother Mann. Amen. They were scheduled to drive today, and we thank God for blessing and keeping them safe, and ask you to lift up Brother Pierre Johnson Jr. in prayer all this week. He is scheduled to drive on next Lord's Day. So again, lift him up in prayer. The Lord will bless him. We don't want to wait until the morning that he has to drive. We want to send up our timbers ahead of time so the Lord will bless and protect him. Amen. Our thought for today, learn to let go like water, flows away, not to return to that spot again. Amen. Amen. So we're talking about even forgiveness from our Sunday school, but let it go. Amen. Praise God. Thank God for service today. Thank God for each and every one. We thank God for all of our young people here. Everyone who's, we'll say, under the age of 15, because there are quite a few. Amen. So we thank God for each and every one of them. Amen. So glad to see Sister Marguerite. Glad to see you. Do you want to express yourself or just wave? All right. Amen. Amen. Good to see Angela. Hi, Angela. Hi. Amen. Amen. Hi. Yes. Liam's waving. So amen. Thank God. So good to see our littlest ones. And again, so good to see Sister Kiba. And again, happy birthday, Sister Lillian, and just glad to see everyone. And all of our, that doesn't mean that we're not glad to see all of our normal, all of our usual. Amen. We don't want to understand, we're not taking you for granted. We want to see you every Sunday, every time that we can. Thank God. Amen. Sister Melita. Amen. Little Lauren, little tiny little Lauren, amen, is turned 2 years old Thursday. And we thank God. We thank God. We know that God performed a miracle. He absolutely performed a miracle. We thank God for that. Amen. Amen. Is there anyone else who would like to express themselves? Amen. 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 Again, Brother DeAndre, so good to see you. Amen. Thank the Lord. We're still praying about that Sunday situation. I mean, the Lord is working on it. It's amen. We're still praying about it. And so we just believe it's under construction. The Lord is working. Amen. Amen. Shall we stand? Amen. And thank God. Amen, amen, amen. Brother Jackson, would you dismiss us in prayer, please?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
In the heart cities and they of your heavenly Father, in you all.
Amen. Yes,
Lord.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Oh, thank you, Lord.
Yeah, thank the Lord. Oh, Lord. My.
I've seen so many things.
Resurrection. Yeah.
And then imagine Philip, when he walked in this morning,